Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? Hope everybody's doing good. It's a great Sunday morning. Well, actually, Sunday afternoon. Some of you people are actually going into your late nights if you're over there in the UK. Or I think it's actually, if I'm not mistaken, about 2 o'clock in the morning. So you are already in Monday. So therefore, I hope your Mondays are doing good. Okay, if you want to give a call in here and get a reading tonight, please do so at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. If you all want to sit there and call me for a private reading, please do so at 740-500-8863 or call me on my private line at 719-344-8699 or you can contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Let's see, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We have a September special going on right now where you get 5 30-minute sessions for only $100. Usually 30-minute sessions go for $30, so that's a heck of a good deal. We also have the situation where actually you can get, I think it's 4 90-minute sessions for $150. Or if you just want to get a reading, and they're like going for $1 a minute for the people who call the show, which is $75 for 75 minutes, $45 for 45 minutes, and $25 for 25 minutes. The five 30-minute readings is actually a package that we got for the idea of learning how to, they're focused on readings and stuff like that, but they're also the idea of teaching you how to manifest at will, manifest instantly. So therefore, keep that insight as well. We'd be glad to sit down with each and every one of you. Find people to sit there and teach you how to actually manifest in your life, because everybody's sitting around going, you know, is this going to happen? Is that going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. It's the idea of sitting there, setting your intentions. What is going to happen? It's the idea of sitting there focusing and putting your intentions out there, because the idea of manifestation happens intentionally or unintentionally. And if you're out there doing things you don't want to do, then you have unintentionally created this life of yours, so therefore by changing your format, changing your thinking, changes the outcome of your life. So therefore you can change and intentionally do things instead of unintentionally. Because it's the ideal. You all sit there going, well, I got these bills to pay and I got to go get a job. Right then and there, you just surrendered your power to the world. I say take it back and start dictating what you want and watch your life change to the point where you'll be getting exactly what you do want. All right, let's go and take some calls. What do you say? Let's go. If you want to call in here, please, guys, please give us a call. We'll love to sit down with you guys and do readings, answer questions, whatever it is. You can ask questions about anything you want. Okay, just give us a call, 646-721-9031. If you want to sit down and do a private reading with me and go with the experience of certain things, because there are certain things you really can't talk about on the show just because of the ideal implication of embarrassment. Okay? So if you want to sit down and get those private readings, please do so. Just give us a call at 740-500-8863. And one of those things I always tell everybody else, you can call me on my private line too as well if you're here in the Colorado Springs area at 719-344. I'm making sure I got those numbers right. It's 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699, okay? Or go to the website and check it all out. Because I tell everybody, if you go to the website, don't freak out. We're always giving special prizes to the people who call into the show because we appreciate the support and people tuning into the show weekly, okay? So we give you a different in the prices. So when we say September special, the only way you'd ever know about that September special is by listening to this show. So therefore, we give you a break. Okay, so if you go on the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com, you'll see that for a 75-minute reading, it's $125. That's the regular price. But for you, it's only $75. That's a dollar a minute, okay? So keep that in mind. And when you go to the site and those kind of things, guys, and you look at the situations, the prices that we do have, even with the specials, I can work with anybody's budget. So just give me a call, and we'll sit down, and I guarantee you we can find a win-win situation where you can get a reading, and everybody is taken care of and compensated accordingly. But it won't happen unless you actually pick up the phone and call me, okay? So therefore, let's go to our first caller, which is area code 321. Welcome to the show. And how are you?
Yes, how are you doing?
I don't know. How are you?
I'm great.
I'm having a little hard time hearing you.
I said I'm doing great.
So we've talked to you before, haven't we?
Yes.
So how can we help you tonight?
Yeah, I'm just calling to see what you have happening there.
What was the last time you called?
I think 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So you're looking for something input inside of
you. I don't think.
No, I was just going over some things in my head. Some things I'd heard before and things I'd put out there. Because I was trying to place you the last time you actually called the show. I was actually trying to get some insights, you know, trying to focus on what we actually did talk about.
Oh, you want some insight on it?
Well, I know we talked before, and sometimes I just like to get just a little insight with people, just to reconnect.
Oh.
So I was just trying to do the same thing here. See what's up, going down, that kind of thing. No, I'm just like freaking out. It's been a crazy day.
Yeah.
I already done one reading today in person, and that was kind of intense. You know, yeah, most like when you look at your situation in your life, it's like you're looking for serenity. You're always looking for serenity in your life, which is the ideal. Serenity has a tendency to come along with the ideal clarity, you know. I know what I want to do. I know what's up in my life. But at the same time, I just want to get some clarity. I'm going in the right direction. And the very first card I pulled for you was Serenity. So it's almost like you get the impression that you're going in the right direction. You just have to have a little bit of faith in yourself. Because I was sitting there, you're like this one guy that calls me all the time, Brad. You know, it's like, when's my girlfriend going to call me? I talked to her yesterday, but, you know, when's she going to call back? And it's almost like every freaking time, it's like every day, a phone call. You know, I called her. She hasn't called me back. And you ask yourself in the situations of these kind of clarities, why do people worry so much? It's like when you let go, and that's the big thing. When you let go of the worry, let go of the situation, things have a tendency to be very clear to you. We're not realizing that the worry and allowing these things to control us, they also have a tendency to judge our and block our judgment and also help keep us from seeing things clearly. That's why it's so important to look at the situation and realizing that, am I making the right choice? If you're doing what you, this is so easy with people to say, if you're doing what you really want to do with your life right now, then there shouldn't be any questions. If there are questions about what's going on, that kind of stuff, or you're sitting there going, I got to make money, I guarantee you're not doing what you really want to do. You're doing things because you feel like you have to. And you become a slave to money, not realizing that if you take the other course and take the other it's like taking things and intentionally saying, okay, what do I really want to do? And being honest with yourself. What do you honestly want to do with your life? And then follow through accordingly and say, okay, I am going the right direction because I feel like this is good. You have to watch out for the world because the world say, well, you know, what the statistics say, and you're supposed to say, who gives a crap? Statistics are based off on people who screwed up on what direction you should go into. Do you really want to take those kind of odds into your situation? I hope not. Because the one thing I keep getting the most is I'm, you know, that the angels and archangels are with you in your time of need, helping you heal your heart because of some of the mistakes you've made in the past. Does that make sense to you?
A lot of sense.
So what you need to do is like the ideal of looking at the idea of a windshield wiper and wiping the slate clean, of realizing that, sure, you made mistakes, but how are you going to make better? Make better decisions is the ideal that, in the process of making the decisions you did, that puts you in situations that are harmful to you, is because you're feeding into a worldly perception. So you got to step back and look at yourself and go, okay, the world, if I listen to the world, it seems to cause more pain, more anguish, more lack and limitations. But when I start focusing on what I really want to do, I can see more possibilities. And that's what you need to do, and the focus of what you got to do. But I also got the idea of serenity, comfort, which is the idea of healing your heart, but it also shows a lot of support. Now, the support, we got to look at the situation like this. Sometimes family does, though. People say, family is very important. In some situations, it is. But we also have to sit there and look at the situation and ask ourselves, how supportive have they really been? You know, your family can only be as supportive as their perception allow them to be. So if you have a family who's living very, I've seen this with Christians too, and it's like the idea of not knocking them down, it's just the idea of looking at the situation and saying, okay, why do you think it's a sin to actually be fruitful and abundant? And they'll come off with some kind of freaking crazy crap. They'll say, well, you know, the Bible says you have to be humble. You know something? I've actually met some millionaires who are very humble and very honest and very decent people. Okay, we was also talking about the other day, we were talking about King Solomon, who was probably the richest man in history, but also he was also a very spiritual man too. So here we have a situation, an example of these things being one and the same. So it actually is like a contradiction to what everybody else keeps telling you. I think the ideal is consequences. Is it really a sin to be a millionaire? I think it's not. I think it's the ideal of how you got there is the most important thing. But I get to this approach. The thing I keep getting with you is the hardest thing can be working against you right now is you need to take time to heal. And when I look at the situation like this, the best way to heal is to face it, to confront it, and look at your fears. If your fears tells you that I shouldn't do this because what people will think, then do it. Okay?
Because
realistically, think about this, you know? We got to sit there and look at the situation, and people say, oh, you're reciting things from the Bible. Well, if you look at the Bible, Jesus didn't stop doing anything he was supposed to do, no matter what people said, no matter what people did. And to prove a point, they crucified him, okay? And still, he didn't give in. So when you look at the situation of this person's life, on any kind of note, this person didn't stop doing what he knew was best. And what he knew he had to do, you know? People might sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, well, that was kind of a bad outcome. They got crucified. Take it one step further. He was also a person who also supposedly rose from the dead. I thought that was a very positive thing. And then he ascended into heaven. He also ascended into heaven in physical form too as well. Okay, guys? So therefore, when you look at these examples tell you that you can go out and do exactly what you want to do. And it's your job to determine what that is. And then in the process of working as co-creators, working with God, the angels, and everyone else to create that life. So what do you want to do? Do you want to sit there and live in lack and limitations and say, well, you know? Or do you want to sit there and actually focus on the idea, what are your wants, needs, and desires? I've never really read any place in the Bible where it says the idea of going out and getting what one wants is wrong. But if you look at the world right now, everybody thinks they have to go work a job. Do you realize working a job, if that's not what you're really destined to do, is just spinning your wheels? You're not doing anything good for yourself, really. You're actually making a living for somebody else. In the process of making a living, I guess it's one of those situations where we try to teach people to say, stop making a living and start making a life, and ask yourself, what do I really want to do with that life? Because the first time you make a decision to actually do what you really want to do, it also sets off an example for everybody else too as well, to do the same. So it changes the world in a positive way by you making a positive decision. If you make a decision to go the opposite direction and go work at a stupid restaurant, all you're teaching the world to do is how to live in more lack and limitations, because you're sitting there saying, well, I got to go and work at this place because, I guess it's what the ideal, it's not the ideal of being irritated because people choose to be victims. It's the ideal, the shame of the whole thing, what they can actually do with their lives, the potential. You know, even the Bible says you have dominion. Dominion means you have the power over. So therefore, you create your reality, you create your life, and you were given that gift to do so. So why are people not doing that? You sit and look at the situation of cultures. You look at the ideal ethnic backgrounds and how much those things are limiting, how much those keep us in a freaking on and on and on and on kind of thing. Or keep creating the same thing over and over again, a lack of limitations. You know, people sit there and do these things. It's amazing because there was I saw this thing. I was living in Maryland at the time. We saw this thing in the Washington Post where this guy was angry because this one guy was asking for more government influence. And the guy says, you know something? We need less government and we need to learn how to stand on our own 2 feet. Only then, and only then, will this country actually be as strong as it was meant to be in the first place when it was created. And the strength of people standing on their own 2 feet, doing their own thing, standing up to a freaking country, and creating a country out of that whole thing too, which would never happen if somebody wouldn't have sat there and said, what do I want to do? And now the country has come to a point where it's like, what can I do in the process of what am I willing to compromise? The very first time you compromise, you keep giving your power away, piece by piece. It's not until you realize that, until you stand up and say, okay, it's not working. And, you know, sit back and observe people who work jobs and do the whole thing, and you'll sit there and watch them live from week to week. And you wonder how they're ever going to get it, you know, like what happened? There are those people who have a tendency to be different in their decisions, but it's kind of amazing when people win the lottery, how much it actually, if they haven't really learned to expand their minds and what they can actually do with that money, they have a tendency to put themselves even in deeper debt than what they had before they won the lottery. And it's kind of amazing. It's because of their perception. So if you look at the situation, money never saved anything. Money never changed anything. If anything, they put them in a position where it actually worked against them. It amplified their own insecurities. I mean, it's kind of funny to watch a person go out and buy cars and houses and buy them on credit when they could actually go out and buy one. See, that's the thing about life in itself. When we start looking at all this materialistic bullshit and start trying to figure out ways to take the money we have to buy more instead of actually using the money, changing our perceptions, and making our lives easier. For example, when I look at your cars, it's saying being truth and integrity means to be truthful to yourself, to have integrity for oneself. People always say, well, you have to have respect for everybody out there. But see, if the person doesn't have a respect for themselves, how can they have respect for anybody else? Having respect for yourself is the ideal, having that kind of respect within yourself to realize you have worth in the process of realizing you have worth, you see the worth in everybody else as well. So you see how it works? And everybody wants to take the self out of it. It doesn't work if you take the self out of it. So the idea with your situation, the cards are saying, you know, you have a lot of healing to do, but the healing seems to be the idea of realizing how powerful and exactly what you can do to realize there is no impossibilities. Only people who have an impossibility thinking about the whole thing around us, that we can also erase that too. So what do you want to do?
What I want to do?
Now you're thinking.
I want to, you know, just be able to increase my vibration and just help others. But first, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing you got to do is heal. You got to heal. You know, in the process of healing, we don't realize in the process of healing, our perception changes and our vibration also changes and also becomes higher. That's why you see a lot of things where they emphasize so much on healing. Because, you know, when you start to listen to people talk about healing, they're always talking about a transfer of energy. And the process of transfer of energy, it also adds to your energy level too as well, which actually raises your vibration. See how important it is to put people in positions of realizations? Because in the process of realization and seeing things from a different perspective, your vibration raises, you see things differently. It's almost like someone boosting you up over the wall. Now you can see over the walls, and you can see all the possibilities of all the things you can do, which makes you more anxious to climb the wall. And then when your perception really changes, you start realizing the wall is nothing but a curtain that you can walk through. And it only looks solid for a moment because that's how rooted your fear was. Once you got rid of your fear and you saw things for what they was, you saw past the illusion. Started realizing it was just curtains that looked like bricks. Now you just push it to the side and go, okay, it's time for me to actually join the ranks of people who are actually getting what they want. And every time somebody actually does that, this is why sometimes we get so freaking crazy about the situation when a person decides to really focus on the materiality. Because it's like, if you're sitting there and you have a car that you don't even like, but you feel like you're pushing to getting, and then here you are working somewhere else to make money to keep that car, do you realize how you're spinning your wheels? Because you're doing all this stuff because you don't want to. And realistically, the reason you're doing it is because you're doing it to please everybody else. Because if you sit there and listen to the freaking conversation, not one thing has come up about what you want. It's basically focusing on what you don't want and why you feel like you got to keep it. People keep saying, like, I need a car. Do you? I swear, this town's going freaking nuts with these freaking assholes out here. I'm trying to figure if anybody can actually keep from hitting somebody else. We've had mercy squads going off every half hour. And there's no fire. I'm sitting there going, man, come on, guys. Just in the last 2 days. I'm like, whoa. Or maybe they just said, hey, Donnie's on the radio, so let's be real noisy. And then I got some dummy over here who wants to pull in here and ride around the parking lot about six times on his Harley. I'm sitting there going, man, maybe we shouldn't dwell on it, huh? Maybe I manifested and didn't know it. We need to change that. I'm just saying, with a situation like that, you need to take a look at the situation and ask yourself, what the heck am I doing? You know, ask yourself how you feel about yourself at the moment, too, when you're sitting there doing all this kind of crazy stuff. Let's say your ankle's hurt. Your body's aching. The whole thing's going on. Is there an easier way where I can actually put myself in a situation in my life where it'd be different? Because there are a lot of people out there who work their butts off, who put themselves in these positions because this is what they want to do. So we'll make that clear, too, that some people like these positions, and maybe they're destined to do these things. But I always believe the people who are complaining about not wanting to do those kind of things are just putting themselves in those situations because they're trying to keep something they really don't want. And they need to change their perception, which is another thing too. Their perception also tells them the same thing over and over again. If you put yourself in situations where you say you have to do anything, you're making a mistake. Because realistically, I was trying to tell my friend, you should try doing this too. You should try fasting for 5 days. Fasting will teach you one thing. that everything's a choice, that you don't have to do nothing. It's your perceptions of the people who are around you and your family who have taught you limitations and lack. And when you start fasting and you start realizing even the idea of eating, drinking, and breathing are choices, then you start realizing everything else that goes along with it are choices too. The first time you sit there and realize that the things that you're ingesting in your body are actually the things that are actually keeping you from actually perceiving things correctly and making the right decisions, you start changing your eating habits, you start changing your drinking habits, and you also change your thinking. And you start realizing, okay, if everything's a choice, then I can also choose to do exactly what I want to do and what's what happens. You know, some people out there say, well, my mom was like that too. She was like, you know, if you want to be famous and all that kind of stuff, it wasn't the idea of being famous. It was just the idea of doing what I want to do. And the thing, and it was another thing too, that you're going to have people that when you're trying to really focus on what you really feel that you're destined to do, they will always tell you that there are always things to go through to get to the point where you want to be at. You'll hear people talk about houses. You got to get the small little house, the little piece of crap in the corner. You pay it off, then you move on to the next house. And then you get another house, and you finally get to the house that you want. Now, if you listen to this freaking equation, you're going to be in a freaking life that you're going to be like 80 years old before you actually get the house you want. And when I sit here and look at situations of people just doing a little bit of work on healing themselves, which could just be the idea of changing their perception of what they actually can do with their lives, and to see them do it at a very young age, you're sitting there going to go, they're going to change their lives to the point where a year from now, they're going to be living in the house they've always wanted to live in. And it was just the idea of focusing on what I really wanted to do with my life. What is my life purpose? I guarantee your life purpose is more likely something you love to do, something you've probably been doing quite a bit of. You just wasn't really thinking you could actually make a living at it because it was just too fun and too happy. Because, I mean, when I started doing psychic work and doing all this kind of work and that kind of stuff, sometimes we get caught in the worldly way of thinking I can't make a living at that, and even though there is a lot of people who do. So you see how that our influences around us can change things quite a bit. Man, it's like you can see a lot of potential happening here in the next 6 months for you. So just work on, I'm just saying, the ideal, it's like focus. What are your intentions? What do you really want to do? And then just make them happen. I guess they didn't say stop questioning yourself.
Yeah. Do you see any other angels around me? Last time you made me aware of the fact that I had four around me. Do you see any other? Raziel, you said Raziel.
Yes.
Uriel, Gabriel, and Michael. Do you see any other?
No. I do get the impression, although it comes to me, is like in 2 months there will be two more coming into your life. You'll know it. But right now, with things are going on, you just see a lot of support and a lot of things are going on with the ones you have down.
Repeat that again,
please. It's the ideal of just making yourself aware of the ones that are around you now and listening and making a big difference in your life, okay?
Yeah.
Because I said, it's like the one card I saw more with the Serenity is the more you realize that you already know what to do and follow through with it. And then you can sit and see why the angels or the archangels around you are. But the idea also being, I always sit and tell people sometimes when you have people around you that have a tendency to work against you, it's the idea of learning to be gentle to yourself and walk away from those situations. And say, okay, my family's not working with me. My friends are not working with me. They're actually working against me in the process of what I know I need to do. It's the idea of making proper decisions and realizing that in the process of making a decision to distance yourself from people is to realize the reason you're distancing yourself from those people because they refuse to be supportive. So therefore, it's their actions, not yours. You're just doing what you know. You're just doing what you know you need to do. If your family makes you feel unworthy and make you feel lack and limitations, they're nothing but working against you. Are we sitting here saying, you know, some people will look at these situations and go, well, that's kind of mean. But what is mean? Is it really mean to walk away from family who are actually keeping you from being who you are, from experiencing your full potential of who you are? Or are you being mean because they're family and you got to kiss their ass? I think it's mean for family to put us in positions where we feel guilty because we are being successful and prosperous. And we're basically outdoing them. I think they should be supportive and be at celebration time. I'm just saying, the situation like that, if you've got people around you who don't like you unless you're doing exactly what they want you to do, then you better get the hell away from them because you're going to be working just like they are and having nothing. You're going to sit there and watch them bitch and complain. You're going to sit there and catch them talking about the family. You're going to sit there and catch them talking about the neighbors. Oh, Joe. Oh, Joni over here, she's nailing everything that walks. You know something? If you're too busy living your life and being a happy person, you'll understand why Joni does what she does. And you won't be condemning her. You'll be looking at the situation and realizing it's just another person feeding into lack of limitations and fear. And if you're sitting there observing it, it's also reflecting something back about you, about your life, about yourself, that you're missing because you're too busy gossiping and complaining or whatever goes along with the situation. So you see how important it is in the process of listening to your angels and guides. We consider go God, angels, archangels, ascended masters, your guardian angels, your guides. Everyone's working with you. And they only have one objective, and that's the ideal of what's best for you. They don't have hidden motivations. So you look at the situations of people around you. Are we condemning them? No, we're just calling them out for who they are. And it's the ideal of looking at the same situation yourself. Because I was sitting there talking about this a while back where I was sitting there going, I moved from Ohio to Colorado, and I felt like when I did, my life would get great and fantastic. I just felt like it was a major change. And, I couldn't see anything that would be like, I didn't have any brochures, let's put it that way. But I did have the prompting and I had the feeling. And as soon as I embraced that feeling and that direction, it was amazing how all the opportunities opened up for me to do just that. And the next thing I knew, I was living in Colorado. Next thing I knew, I had a hotel room. I was making money every freaking week. Everything was coming together. Next thing I knew, I had an apartment. Next thing I know, someone gave me a bunch of furniture. I just started seeing all these things happening, as most people call miracles. So when you start seeing these things happening, I think what it tells you is you made a really good decision. When your life keeps getting more difficult and crazy and you don't see those freaking miracles happening, take a look, stop. And take a look at yourself and go, okay, nothing's really working out. Life is difficult. My ass hurts. My feet are killing me. There's got to be an easier way. And then sit there and open up to the possibilities of talking to your angels and your guides and listening to them. Don't get caught up in the bullshit of sitting there saying, I want to do what I want to do. Because if you're sitting there saying, I want to do what I want to do, I want to be happy. Okay, the cards are saying this, and the guides are saying this, and the angels are saying this, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Do you realize at that moment your ego is in charge? The ego was never meant to be in charge. There has to be a balance between the physical and the spiritual, which is the idea why people are focusing on spirituality, because actually you are a spiritual being. Okay, in the process of being a spiritual being, it's realizing the body is just a car, transporting you from point A to point B. So let's say that you, when you were younger and that kind of stuff, maybe some things happened to you physically, but don't let those things keep you down. You sit and look at the situation, go, okay, it's like your Mustang. You take it to the body shop, you get it fixed, you move on. But it doesn't change you one bit or the other. You will always be who you are. So that's what the spirit is all about. So it's the idea of focusing on those kind of connections and realizing that your guides and angels are trying to guide you and saying, you know what to do. Focus. What is music? Is music very important to you?
Yes.
So it's saying, also it talks about Archangel Gabriel, which is talking about it's time for you to assume your leadership power and position and lovingly guide others. Now, some people look at that situation and go, okay, that card is saying that I should actually do the kind of, you know, maybe more spiritual work. Maybe it's counseling. Maybe it's just the idea of you walking out there and living your life and really focusing on a music career and doing all that kind of stuff and being very successful, because by you making that decision, you do that. You just do that. You do assume your leadership power and position and lovingly guide others to do the same thing, to follow their dreams because you followed yours. You see how it works? So you don't have to become a counselor or do spiritual work or maybe do psychic work, you know, those kind of things. Everybody's chosen and everybody has their certain position. But see, you have this gravitation toward music. So the more successful you are at music and the more people see that, the more you also motivate them to do and follow their dreams as well. That's why I always get irritated with people who want to sit there and work in restaurants and stuff. You know, I think we all should get our asses up there and start cooking our own damn food. Restaurants are great, fantastic, and and we can also see the people who also do that kind of work because they're destined to do it. But what I'm saying is, if you're a person, and the one phrase you said was, "Look at all the money I'm going to make," then you're not there for the right reasons. You're there because you feel like you have to make money. You're not there because you love being in the restaurant biz, okay? Your situation it's like one of those things, focusing on the idea of what you want to do with your life. Some people might say, well, you have to work at the restaurant. And look at these other people that became actresses and all that kind of stuff. They had to work at restaurants and stuff. But see, also step back and look at the situations. Those people were also told that's what they got to do, or they felt like that's what they needed to do. Doesn't mean everybody goes in the same direction. Maybe if they would have focused on their intentions, on what they exactly wanted to do, and didn't think they were going to make mistakes, you know, they could have been somewhere quicker, and they would have skipped the whole restaurant thing. I'm just saying, when you focus on the idea of the situation, a lot of people go from one thing, and opportunities just start falling into place. Of course, follow the opportunities and how they play themselves out, but not everybody started at the bottom. Not everybody started in the middle. And not everybody started at the top. They all started where they feel like, it depends on their intentions where they started. So what is your intentions? Where do you want to start at? You might actually get a job working with somebody who's already got something established and fall right into something. It might take months. But don't listen to everybody else tell you what it's all about, especially if you have people who've never done it. I read in this magazine. No, you don't want to talk to people who read anything in magazines, okay? You want to talk to people who've actually done it. And then they'll get you where you got to go. It's like I'm talking to your angels and guides and go, okay, this is what I want to do, but I don't want to work in a freaking restaurant. I want to sit there and have the opportunity to actually do what I want to do. And you might actually find a different way of approaching the whole thing. I just have a funny feeling you will, okay? I just lost that one. Okay?
Yes, definitely.
Because I got this thing here. I was sitting here looking at the situation, gentleness and music, and that music just jumped out at me. All right? So I want you to really focus on what you really want to do. Okay? If you have any more questions, contact me for a private reading or just come back on the show and we'll discuss it again. All right?
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling. I really appreciate it, too.
Yes, thank you.
Have a good night. Bye-bye now. Let's see. I want to go... Okay, let's try this one more time.
Can't hear anything. No. Hello.
Oh, shuck a darns. Must be one of those things with a phone, huh? Don't you just hate that one? Well, let's try this. I'm going to, let's see, 239 8-0-4-7-1-4. All right, just check that one out, too. I don't want 2. Oh. When you wish upon a thorn. Oh, let's see what's happening. Oh, she didn't answer. That's what the problem was.
Hello.
Hello.
I can't hear you. That's weird. Okay, it must be Blog Talk Radio. Have a good day.
Why can't they just give us a nice connection, huh? All right, let's go on to, I don't know, let's just sit there and talk to some people here and there. So we got going on, let's talk to this person in Florida, area code 904, hello. I think we know who you are. We've talked many times before. So if you want to talk to us now, we'd be glad to hear you.
Hey, Donnie. I'm just listening on tonight because I'm going to have to get off in about 10 minutes. So I was just listening.
That's great.
Yes, this is Sarah.
I'm just saying, you can get up in 10 minutes you want to. I'm just sitting here not talking to anybody else. And it seems like some of the people that are actually calling in, I seem to be having a hard time with it because...
I could hear her.
I know, so could I. But she couldn't hear me.
Right.
And what I did was I have an option on my switchboard where I can actually call people. So I called her, thinking maybe if I call her back, we would have a better connection.
Right, and I did hear her say that she couldn't hear you.
Yeah. So I was kind of freaking out for a minute going, okay, what's up with that crap?
Okay.
I don't know. It's like sometimes you want to look at Blog Talk Radio and go, okay, you know something, guys? I don't have a free show. We're paying money for this stuff, and the idea of talking to people is very crucial to a talk show.
Right. Right.
So I was sitting kind of going over the thing really clearly, and then I was like freaking out. Going, I felt like there was an important thing with that situation that needed to be done, but now we can't get through. I guess we could try calling one more time. But
yeah, try her again.
But I just wanted to sit here and say hi, because I knew who it was. I was just going to say hi to you and say what's up.
All right. Yeah, I was just calling in to listen because, like I said, I got a conference call to get on in about 10 minutes, so I don't want to talk.
No problem. You have a good night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Well, let's sit here and try this again. So we got this thing going on. I got the freaking thing.
Hello?
Why is that working? Hello?
Oh, I can hear you now.
I thought I'd give you a call.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. First two times we talked to you, we could hear you.
No, I couldn't hear you. It was just static, so I figured it was Blog Talk Radio. Probably doing their commercials, hooking them onto your show or something.
Yes. What's your name?
I'm Diana.
Diana.
What kind of readings do you do?
You can think of, basically. People ask that question like, okay, I could go down the list, but it'd be another 10 minutes. I guess it's one of those things, look at yourself and it's like asking you, what are you looking for?
Do I have to ask you a question?
Well, no one has to do anything. Guy, he didn't really ask any questions either. He was just like, okay, what do you see? And then we went
on. Yeah, that's good enough for me.
Went on for like
40.
I see. I was trying to figure out what 39 area code is.
I'm not where. Oh, I'm in California, Northern California coastal.
Have you ever talked to that before? Hello?
Hello?
Have you ever called a show before?
I don't think so.
Okay. No, so I'm just trying to figure it out, because I mean, your voice sounded kind of familiar, so.
Oh, well, maybe I have. I write down phone numbers, but not the names of the show, because I don't have a computer. My computer was stolen. So, you know, I just call back to the same numbers when I think, oh, I must have liked that show. So I try the number, and there you are.
Okay, no problem. So when's your birthday? Can I have that, please?
5-7-54.
You're a Taurus.
Sort of.
What is that? May. Taurus instead of an April Taurus, but there is a difference between the two. And then we have all the other variations of other signs, of course, with the houses and that kind of stuff, but I'm just saying. I think I get the impression. Gemini.
You're skipping again. Is that me or you? It might be because there's a tower out there. I'm in a coffee shop now.
Yeah,
yeah, I can't hear you now.
You can't
hear me. It disappeared. Every once in a while I hear it. Gosh, I didn't get to hear what you had to say.
Are you in a restaurant?
Yes, I'm in a coffee place.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear you. Whatever you did, you came back. Cool.
That's crazy.
It could be bad reception.
Could be. Yeah, you're coming in clear. Fine.
Well, okay. You are clear now. It went in and out.
Enable or make.
I guess this connection isn't working because you're gone again. So if you need to go on to the next person, it's okay. I can try. Let me try to walk out before you hang up. See if outside's better.
Okay, no problem.
Are you there? Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Maybe it's better outside.
No, I was just looking at the cards, and we were talking about the Two of Swords was talking about the ideal situation going on and that kind of stuff, where I guess it comes to me as weighing decisions, but thinking too much, putting oneself in a position, what should I do, and then being unable to make a decision because then you start thinking again. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it talks about the second card. It's called Awakening. It's the idea of Archangel Gabriel, but it's also the idea of being honest.
Oh, yeah.
And really, being honest and really talking to yourself. I also see Archangel Gabriel as a person also has been with you in the process of writing.
Yes.
It does show a focusing on the third card, which is the Three of Cups. It shows a lot of celebration within yourself.
Yay! You're good!
Thank you. We just got to get that connection going on, huh?
Well, even in the bad connection, you drew the right card. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, the connections I have with you have nothing to do with this freaking phone thing. Thank God.
I know. Some people still need the voice to get the connection.
Yeah. See, that's one thing about
that.
I can hear you fine. You've never cut out. You've never cut in. You've always been as clear as a bell. That's more confusing.
Well, you know, sometimes I hear that baby crying, which is a Blog Talk Radio thing. And when that happens, you usually get dropped. Or there's something wrong with, you know. I think they make it hard for you all to have shows, actually. To make everything go perfect. But look, you could still read perfect. So that's what counts.
Exactly.
Hmm.
So you're in California.
Well, I needed to listen to a friend who was going to be on Dr. Jenny's show, but I don't have a computer and I don't have the phone number for that. You happen to know which one I'm talking about?
Dr. Jenny. When is she on?
I think she's on at 6. My time. I'm Mountain Time, California. 3 hours difference in Eastern. But I'm supposed to listen to the show. He's reading on the show. Maybe you should call in and get a reading.
Okay. Let's see. So
well, you got to take a break now and then.
Right. So what's this person's name again?
It's Dr. Jenny.
Doctor.
Because it's a Christian psychic.
Really? Doctor... Dr. Jenny?
Yeah, maybe they're taking off tonight, but it's usually 6 p.m. my time every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be 9 p.m. Eastern. It's hard without a computer. I hope you see visions of hundreds of computers falling in my lap. Then I'll stick one for me and pass the rest of them out.
How do we get this one?
You don't have another caller?
No, we have somebody listening in right now, but she doesn't want to come on the show.
Huh.
This is funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. Hold up. I pushed the wrong... Oh, hit the wrong button again. I was going to click it off. You freaking... No, I was sitting here looking for it, but I don't see anything.
Huh. Maybe they took the day off then.
Maybe it's Dr. Okay, is it Dr. Or
maybe it's just Jenny. I mean, that she calls herself Dr. Jenny on the show.
That could be it, too. How does she spell Jenny?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. Sorry, my pants are falling down.
Yeah, come on, work with me here, would you?
This lady expected me to open the door for her. I'm holding these pants up. I've lost
what is
so
her
much
name?
Weight on this.
Hey,
sorry, I
couldn't
hold the door open.
What is her name?
Jenny. Jenny. That's all I know.
Jenny?
Christian Science. It could just be Christian Psychic Network without even her name. That's probably what it is.
I have a lot of Jennifer. I have a lot of Jennies here. Let's see, we got Jenny.
Try Christian Psychic Network.
Christian?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to spell Christian.
They work with the angels. Well, you know, they do things just like other readers, draw cards, so. But.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying. With
Christian,
me,
yeah. CHRISTIAM.
I'm just saying, it was a Jenny Garth. She was a beautiful, it says beautiful, a beautiful, powerful, positively, oh, that's pets.
I have to plug my phone in now so I can hear to charge my phone. So, thank you for the reading. My phone needs to plug it in.
Okay, no problem.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Everybody left. Let's see. Our relationship continues to grow closer. That was a good one. All right. If y'all want to get a reading, please do so. Call us right now. It is quiet. For a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, something like that. It seems like it's a really good thing going on here. So if y'all want to sit there and pop in, please do so. And if you're in the chat room, if you'd like to have a card and you're snoozing, you just happen to catch that I actually said a card, and please do. Give us a call here at 646-721-9031. We'd be glad to sit down with you and go over some things real closely. If you choose to do so. Sitting with the situation itself, because I was sort of going over some things where we were sitting going over some cards. Now, cards can be a really crazy situation. Sometimes we use the cards, sometimes we don't. But with a situation like numbers is a good one, too. Because I was sitting looking at some numbers, like 239. 239, that was kind of an interesting number itself. I just felt like I wanted to prop up and pull up one. 239, which means you and your divine life purpose are being helped by powerful ascended masters. Ask them for guidance with respect to the next step on your career path, and they will directly guide you. Interesting in itself, right? I keep hearing these noises going on and hand channels back and forth. I'm trying to look at the situation itself. But what the heck is going on? But nothing has come across in itself to the point where I just want to sit there and take a break anyway. Trying to figure out some things, promotions, but how do you put the situation in a more promotional thing than the idea of life itself? Because I was sitting there going, this is kind of cool. Kind of, sort of. Sometimes you get really irritated with these freaking phones we need some cords to hang on to, I think. I was actually looking at some things very closely. Sometimes I was because we were actually sitting there, pull cards. We want to pull cards. But then people are always asking about pulling cards, and now there's no one asking. Doesn't that just drive you nuts? Pulling cards can drive you up the walls. So we're going to get some juices and this and that and the other because we're a little thirsty with our situation. I don't know. Sometimes I was just sitting there looking at the situation and people talking about relationships and that kind of stuff. How important are relationships in life anyway? They're very important, I think, because the idea of a relationship happens every 5 seconds or quicker with every person you cross paths with. Interesting in itself, right? So what are you going to do? It's interesting, I think. And when you look at the situation of how things can actually play themselves out, what kind of relationship would you want to have? Sometimes I look at the situation like this, too, where people have no problem with relationships with family and friends and that kind of stuff. Don't worry about them calling, not worrying. If they call, they don't call. What happened? We have a tendency to look at the situation and go, well, I guess something came up, or, you know, I know how Joey is because Joey can be a really pain in the butt. And if someone doesn't call him as fast as they like it to, he has a tendency to be mean about it. And he'll refuse to call you until you do. And you know he was the one that should have been calling in the first place. So you see how these things are. We sit there and look at those situations, and we go, okay, I understand. Why can't we do the same thing with our romantic relationships to try and be more understanding too as well? I think things would work out a whole lot better if people would be that kind of understanding, or looking at these situations and going, okay, this person's not calling me back. Why is this person not calling me back? And freaking out about the whole thing. Well, they should sit and look at the situation like this. Have respect for yourself and ask yourself a question right now. If that person doesn't call you back in the next 5 minutes, is the world coming to an end? I think you're going to come to a conclusion and find out one thing. The world is not coming to an end in the next 5 minutes because that person didn't call you back. And then you're going to find out one thing about yourself, that you're a control freak, that you're trying to control the situation of sitting there putting your expectations on somebody else and saying, you should be answering the phone right now. You should be calling me back. What is your problem? Not realizing the person who has a problem is you and the way you're demanding this thing to play itself out. I guarantee if you sit there and take all the control issues off everything and just relax, let it go, let things fall into place, you might have that person calling you back, telling you, okay, this is what's been going on. I had a little situation, because it's like this. We have to realize we have lives. So do other people. And they're living their lives. And they're doing this, that, and the other. They're living their lives according to what they think they should be doing. So therefore, here you are sitting there dictating because they didn't do it the way you thought they should do it. That's just your life and your perceptions. And you need to take those control issues off of the situation, allow it to play itself out. Because you know something, it is amazing when you stop trying to control every aspect of everything, how things will take a notion to fall into place naturally. All right? So So think about this one, and think about that one, and put it in perspective, that what is good for you, what is good for you? We all know what's good for ourselves, so therefore we should realize that maybe the thing we're talking about at that moment, realistically, the reason it didn't happen, because it wouldn't have had a positive outcome if it would have happened when you wanted it to. And then allow it to play itself out, and later on when it does, you find out it had more of a positive, happy outcome. So therefore, there you go. What do you think about that one? Pull me a card, like your cards, for me, too much glitches, too many what? Glitches. Can everybody hear me? How about you, Tosh? Can you hear me? Is there any problems or anything like that? So you can hear me. So basically, it was just that last caller's phone, probably. You think? When you was talking earlier, about the phone line, yes. Okay. So let's pull a card out of my Angel Tarot deck. What do you say? Is that good for you? Angel Tarot cards. Let's start shuffling the deck and say, hey, why don't you tell me when to stop shuffling, and then we'll go from there. How you think? Okay. So when you're done, when you want me to stop shuffling, say stop. But you got to spell it right. All right, we shuffled. We shuffled. We just got done shuffling. Okay. Now, tell me when you want to cut the deck. You want me to cut it or leave it the way it is? All right. We are cutting the deck as we speak. All right, here we go. Okay, I pulled the card for you, and the card come out is defend your beliefs and decisions. Stand your ground. Choose your battles wisely and the idea of what you think and what you feel you should do. Because I keep getting it's more of a person, a new person enters your life. I keep getting even a relationship actually may begin a new phase, which it could still fall in the category of someone still entering your life that you already know and where the relationship will actually kick into gear very quickly and go to that next level. Very intense. You actually got two cards, so you should feel lucky. But I actually was focusing more on that one, the defending your beliefs. What do you believe? What do you feel? What do you feel? Because the ideal of the situation is like that. You know, people sit and look at the situation when we start making decisions of what we're willing to compromise to see something come to fruition when we should be looking at the situation and going, are you making a decision in fear? What could possibly be the outcome if you're allowing yourself to be pulled into such a fear? It's like if you don't make a phone call, you're scared that someone won't call you when it tells you right then and there that you shouldn't make that call. Because you're making you know you shouldn't be making that call, and that person should be calling you because of the situation. Especially if you have a situation where someone's walked away from you, someone's actually made a decision and went against themselves and went away. Now, the only way they could see the situation correctly to see the error of their own ways is to see it for what it is, by putting them in that position to do so. Okay? Well, shuck a darns. We need callers to please call in at 646-721-9031. It was kind of funny this morning. So, Tasha, are you psychic? Misintuitive? Anything else that goes along with the situation? Can you call in? Is there any chance you could actually call in? Okay, because I got this situation, if you want to sit here and throw it out to you. I get a really strong feeling in my heart that me and this particular girl are supposed to be together, that I even feel like we will be together. I guess I'm just getting impatient because of the... So I was just trying to get somebody's insight to the situation, and we really appreciate if they did. Okay. There we go, Joe. Hello, how are you?
Hi.
So what's up?
Yeah, I feel y'all going to be together soon. I feel it's going to be around the winter season or beginning of the new year.
Being together, okay?
Yeah.
But we will start interacting with each other on a regular basis this month, correct?
No, I see like October.
That wasn't funny. How about this? How about just communication in this month?
If you try to reach out to her, yeah. Do you have her phone number?
Yes, but that's not the point. The point is she's the one who walked away. I didn't walk away from her.
Oh, okay.
This woman actually sit here and told me that she didn't want to go, didn't want to leave, didn't want to do nothing, and still did anyway. So she went against her guides, her angels. She even told me one time. I told her, I said, I did some card readings and stuff, and I've done this. And she's asked me questions about other psychics and readings and stuff. And I told her one day, I was like, you know something? It doesn't matter what other psychics have been telling me about us. It's the idea you asking the question means you're looking for answers too.
Yeah.
About us. So therefore, and she kind of giggled. And then I sit here and said the thing about the readings and the cards, and she goes, maybe so. Maybe this is true, but I'm going to do what I want to do. So at that moment, I realized one thing. The ego is, she's allowing her ego to stand in the way. Or maybe we need pride and that kind of thing. So I was started talking to a friend of mine, and I said, and then I got mad. I got really pissed off because they were saying, well, maybe you should call them. I said, are you saying that because you're saying that if I don't, there could be a little bit of fear that if I don't call, that she'll never call me again? Is that what you were telling me that for? Are you feeding into your own insecurities as you're giving me a reading? And they're like, well, you know, communication is very important, and girls like being chased after. I said, exactly what I was saying before. You're letting your ego, too, get in the way of the situation instead of reading the reading for what it is. Because, you know, I've been doing this for a very long time. And it's not the idea of being critical, but it's also the idea of trusting oneself and saying, okay, the reading I'm getting from, like I was telling them, the reading I'm getting from you right now tells me that I should listen to myself and not you. So therefore, thank you. And they were like taking it personal. I said, don't take it personal, or I might just get really angry. Because it's the ideal, you're not, it's like every situation that crosses our path is a learning experience. Okay? Also, the situation I like to put out to people too when we do the shows, like you. You just gave me a reading. But the timing and everything else could change on these things very quickly because of, you know, anything else could change. Like, there are certain things that haven't played out. Maybe she's listening to the radio show, or I work on a random. I don't know if you know that or not. Excuse me, but I was working on a random, and she's actually, this is the thing that drives me the craziest. Last Thursday, she texted me at 2:30 in the morning to ask me about a bag. She said, she was asking me if she left a bag here. Now, my friend said, did you respond? I said, no, I didn't, because I felt like she was trying to get a reaction. And I got the impression she misses me and wants to talk too. But she has to stop playing the game.
Yeah. You know,
pick the phone up. And you text me at 2:30 in the morning. And I told my friend of mine, I said, she wants to be here. She wants to go from North Carolina, and she wants to be where I'm at in Colorado, because I feel like in some sense, Laura, she realizes she should have never left. And people say, well, how do you know that? If you sit there and watch somebody go against their guides and angels and that kind of stuff, sooner or later, that realization is going to kick in. And you're going to sit there and go, what was I thinking? You know, or trusting. Like I tell people all the time, realistically, when it comes to relationships, the one thing we need to really trust is the idea of what we say. Do you love this person? Do you really care about this person? Do you really feel like you have a bond, a connection, and that true love between the two each other, that you've actually paid attention to the person that you're talking about, the point where you know them, you know how they reacted, how they reacted to you in a spontaneous way because of those feelings? Then why can't you trust that to understand that they're going to see that too sooner or later? Especially in a situation like I was telling a friend of mine, I said, I've always told her the truth. I've always asked and talked to her, told her how I feel, told her I want to be in a relationship, I want to be back together, I want her to come back here. I have stated this stuff over and over and over again to the point where I said, you know, there has to be a certain point where she has to realize the only reason we're not is because of what she's doing, not what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're coming from. She do need to make the initiative to call and say that she was in the wrong, because it takes the bigger person to admit their mistakes.
Yeah, because I was telling a friend of mine, I said she texted me at 2:30 in the morning. How come there wasn't a second text when I didn't text her back? Okay, so it's the ideal. Somewhere in the line, we have to look at the situation too. Okay, you love somebody, you miss them, you're starting to realize some things, but you're not quite there to the point where you're going to let your pride, you're going to let down your resistance to realize that the only reason a person would not want to talk to you or communicate with you right now is because how you treated them. How are they ever going to sit there and come to the realization of how they treated you? If you give in to them, you're just going to enable them to do it to you again. I had a friend of mine who actually did this for 4 months. And she said when her husband finally came back, he was a totally different person because of the realization of why a person wouldn't want to communicate with him was because of his actions and his actions only. You know, to sit there and look at somebody and say, hey, you've been talking about this and this and this. And then I guess we'd sit there and look at this one saying, if a person, I think that making a decision was warranted because a person told me too that she wouldn't be friends right now. I wanted to work out some things. I'm sorry, guys, but realistically, in a situation like that, being friends is not going to help anything. It's a person who's regressing back to friendship because they don't want to deal with what's actually really going on. So how are they ever going to deal with that? How are they ever going to deal with what their real feelings? It's with a person who refuses to give in. Because, like she told me this, she was like, you don't love me enough to be my friend. And I told her, and this is exactly what I said. So, you know, I tell people, take it if you want. I stopped her right there and said, stop, right there. I said, you don't like being told how you feel, and neither do I. I know how I feel. I know what I've seen. I've seen the visions, the dreams. I saw you in wedding dress. It was not a freaking imagination. It was a vision of us and what's going to go on. And I said, if I'm not mistaken, you're the one that's questioning if you're in love or not. I'm not. I know how I feel. So to sit there and tell me I don't love you enough to be your friend, I don't think you have the right to go there with that kind of situation until you figure out what you are and how you feel. Now, something I had my friend left home, and I said, you probably think she hung up on me too, don't you? And she goes, yeah, I would. She didn't. Because she knew that what I said was the truth, because she didn't argue with me. And believe me, when she doesn't agree with something, she hangs up pretty quick. But when you hit a chord of truth that she doesn't want to deal with, that phone gets hung up and she don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, let's look at the situation of communication. She's text. She's also come in my room, I think on two occasions. At least once in the last week. So we had last Thursday, and then just recently this Wednesday, she came in my chat room on a random, which I didn't stick around. I was really, honestly, I just said, you know something? I've staked my case. I said, I really don't want to talk to any other avenue except for talking on the phone, and it would be great if you would just come back and we could talk face to face. Because the ideal, see, the one thing I always stress to people in readings and stuff is when you start getting these impressions, people say, well, it didn't happen. What did you do? You know,
okay.
Most people have to understand one thing with readings. You don't just sit around and wait for them to happen. There's also interactions. There's also your actions and what you need to do for yourself in the process of these things unfolding. Usually if you have, I've always believed when it comes to relationships, if there's any kind of distance between the two of you and you're not exactly coming together just yet, I feel like the person who's asked the question also needs to do work on themselves. Their own relationship, their own wants, needs, and desires. Looking at the situations and asking yourself, okay, have you dealt with the reason why you broke up? You know, have you dealt with that? Have you worked through that? Will that happen again? Are you guys going to meet on a different page this time? Because the other person is going through their realizations. More than likely, they're going through their realizations. They're going through things that they're not too happy with and that kind of stuff. I mean, when I sit there and basically, with my situation, the reason I don't stick around when she comes in my room is the ideal I don't want to talk or communicate there. Not because I'm being mean. I just want to sit down and have a conversation with somebody where I can actually be just me and her. To me, I think that's respect for both of us in the process of anything can happen. And then once you've worked things out, now if you want to come in my room, since we do have an idea of what we are in a relationship or whatever, then you could come in my room. Okay? But all it does, if with her coming right now, seriously, honestly, with her coming in my room without no conversation about, because I already put it out there, you know, I want to be back in a relationship. I actually want to marry this girl, okay? I want her to come back to Colorado. I've even stated many times, if you want to work on this thing half and half, or you do your half and I'll do my half, get you back out here, so we can actually sit down and live together again and really see if this is a really, you know, this, I get the impression it's one of those things, it's just the ideal, coming back, living together, being together, and watching this thing grow again. I feel like that was what was the biggest problem in the first place, was the idea of this thing happened too, some people would say too quickly. I say it was too comfortable. And it was one of those things that some people didn't expect to happen, and it was kind of overwhelming, of a person who's gotten to a point where they feel so comfortable with somebody and living with somebody in the situation that they didn't want to go home. Or they didn't even think about going back home. That was what the fear was. So it was like, okay, I'm starting to think about my family and my friends and realizing how non-supportive they ever was. And here I am in a situation I feel so comfortable because someone's actually supporting me on what I want to do and my dreams in life, which I've never had before. Now, most of us would embrace those things and say, oh, this is great, fantastic, something I've been looking for my whole life. And actually, I've had a couple comments from her, too, as well, where she sits here and said, as we were talking, that she realizes I do love her. So you look at the situation and say, okay, until the games stop, doesn't mean I have to keep myself in that situation. The one thing about, we tell people about strength and power. To take back your power is to sit there and stick to your guns, but also stick to your beliefs. Okay, what do you believe? I believe that this has to be done on an adult level, in a conversation and talking on the phone, if not in person. I don't want to talk to the computer. I don't want to talk to anything. Because I think, to me, I feel like it's insensitive, it's cold, and it's not a form of communication. It's something that we should do after we're in a relationship. Because say that we're in a situation like I was out of the country, then I could communicate through the computer because I want to sit there and say hello, communicate, and keep in touch. Or texting. Same thing with texting. I think texting is one of those things, if you're in a situation where you can't call somebody, it's kind of amazing that texting can, for some reason, you can still text to people and you can't get through to them. You know? So these things actually help in the ideal of, after a relationship has been established and boundaries and that kind of stuff, you can use these things as avenues too as well. But they should be any kind of avenues of communication when you miss somebody. If you really miss somebody and you can call them, I think there has to be a reason why that person is not making the initial call. Vulnerability, pride, whatever. Even a situation of a person not allowing themselves to call because of their pride, it's still a sense of vulnerability. So I was sitting there going, this is crazy. And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, do you think it's easy to sit there and know that what you're doing is the right thing to do? When you could actually just say, okay, forget the whole thing and give in? Which is more important, being true to oneself or feeding into fear? Because if you're feeding into fear, you're not being true to yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because that's what I was saying before. If a person is going to text you or come into your chat room, why can't they just pick the phone up and say, hey, what are you doing? How come you won't talk to me? And find out. Maybe the reason is, I was sitting doing a reading for someone the other day, and it was kind of funny when you do readings for people, how you find out, you get answers and solutions to your own problems. Have you ever had that happen?
Yes.
So I was doing this reading for this lady, and she was cut shut. This was a crazy situation too, okay? The lady's talking about her and her boyfriend had a child. They just had a child together. Well, he's so pissed off at her because she was so irate, and she was just really mean to him when she was pregnant. And you're sitting there going, what a self-centered asshole, right? Here this woman is, she's pregnant, going through hormonal, all kinds of stuff, and he wants to sit there and make it personal about himself. Well, you're being mean to me. And he can't understand why. But I was sitting there telling her, I said, so how's the communication? She goes, well, they're separated. So when he has the daughter, does he call his wife up and his girlfriend and say, hey, Shirley just did this and this? No. He texts her or emails her. Okay, I think, and I sit there and said, what I keep picking up with this guy is the reason he won't call you is because he's starting to feel guilty because he knows he was being mean to you and not understanding. So now he's starting to feel guilty about what he's done to you. So therefore, he texts you and he emails you because he doesn't have to face you. I'm sitting there going, hold on for a minute. Okay, I have a certain person who's not calling me right now who has no problem. Who had no problem at point, you know, just picking the phone up and calling, right? And that's one thing I want to sit here and say to you, too. I've also asked her three times. I asked her one time, I said, I'm working on a random, I'm very close to my goal, so could you call me later? Well, before then, I used to sit here and tell her that because, realistically, I would say, call me later, which means and when she calls, it gives me an opportunity to stop working and talk to her. Well, she didn't do it. So then I sit there the next morning. I sit there and said something to her. I wrote something to her about calling me. I said, I'm sorry about what I said yesterday about you working at the restaurant, and I was just trying to say that you're worth $10 million. So why are you doing that kind of work when you could be doing so much more for more people, basically doing psychic work and stuff, because she's very gifted and very, very talented. And I sit there and said, she was talking about making $16 an hour. I'm like, why do people do that? Basically put their worth on freaking money when their worth goes way above all that. Has nothing to do with money. I've had two people, she was one of them, said, I'm making $16 an hour. And I was like, what do you freaking do? You're worth $10 million. You're gifted. You're talented. You're just a very awesome, talented person. I don't understand why you're doing this, you know? So the next morning, I actually wrote back to her and said, I'm really sorry about that. I understand this is your choice, and I support you on all your choices. Whatever you want to do, you do what you want to do. I said, why don't you give me a call later, and we'll sit down and talk about this. You can tell me all the good things that have been happening to you, and I'll tell you about all the good things that have been happening to me. She never called.
Wow.
So then
yeah.
I sit there, and I said, she came in my room one night, and she goes, why'd you block me for? I said, block you? I blocked you almost 2 weeks ago. Now you're coming in the room and asking me why I blocked you? My friend said, this was kind of funny because what happened was I was on webcam on this website. I don't know if anybody knows what Orandom is, but Orandom is a psychic line on the internet that you come on and you can see me on webcam. I have a chat room. You come in the chat room, a free chat room, and you talk and that kind of stuff. And then there's a button. Mm-hmm. If you want to get a private reading, you push the button. Then it's just the two of us. But in the chat room, there's like you could be up to 20 people in there. Okay. Well, I was reading poetry. And I was reading poetry I'd written. And people go, well, are these poems directed toward a special person? And I said, yes, they are. And I told them exactly who it was. Well, 2 seconds later, guess who comes in my room? And I was thinking to myself going, it's kind of ironic that 2 seconds later she comes in the room under her name when I feel like she's been coming in my room under another name or just guest or whatever. Right? And all of a sudden she comes in, and then she goes, what'd you block me for? And my friend said, like when she left out of here, people say when she left here, she said that you guys got into an argument and she felt like she had to go. She said the argument had nothing to do with it. It was more of her own personal fears that she had to deal with because she already sat there and told you flat out that she didn't even want to go. That was kind of funny, too, to watch somebody sitting here going, I don't want to go. I really don't want to go. I said, well, then don't go. And but she never told me why. She would never sit there and go that route. And then there was a sense of, she said that she felt like she stayed too long, that she would get trapped here. And it's amazing when you sit there, if you really listen to people and they're talking, you'll hear what they're actually thinking, not what they're saying. So when I sit there and focus on her, what I heard was, I'm scared if I stay any longer, I won't want to go. Even to the point maybe it might have been a fear where she felt like I wouldn't let her stay. And I already told her flat out, that was no freaking issue with me, man. The idea was, I said, this thing was going good. I loved it, having you here. And actually, the last conversation I did have with her on the phone, I told her flat out, the one thing, I miss her being here. I miss everything about her. But there was one thing about her, she used to hum and sing quite a bit. And I always felt like when she was humming and singing, that's when her guard was almost, there was no guard. That's when she was, when you saw her humming and singing, you saw her complete personality, who she was. The essence of who she is. And I actually remember talking to her on the phone about it, and she said, we were talking, and all of a sudden she said, you know that one part? What part's that? She goes, you know the one part you were talking about the singing thing? She goes, I never heard the whole thing. Could you repeat that? I said, why are you not listening to me? She's like, no, I swear I'm listening to you. But could you repeat that part? And I just felt like that she heard. She just wanted to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a little bit of what was in the last conversation that we actually had on the phone put her in a situation with being a little vulnerable, why we haven't really got any phone calls since then. But when she came in the room that night and she said, you know, what'd you block me this time for? So you shouldn't say, what'd you block me for, which I felt like had nothing to do with the whole thing. It was just a way of opening up a conversation. And I just said, you know something? If you want to talk to me, then call me on the phone. We'll talk about it. Because I don't feel like this is the proper place to talk about this. Okay? And I said, oh, by the way, if you would have come in the room earlier, I was actually reading poetry about you that I'd written. And also, it was like, that was the only comment I got. Why'd you block me this time for? And then the rest of it was like, I sit here and said what I said, makes you know she's gone. So I was like, I told a friend of mine, I said, so don't give me the freaking notion about if you really want to talk to her, you should give her a call. Because I've already sit here and asked her to call me 3 times. And I said, is it a pride thing with me of saying, okay, until she does, I'm not going to call her? No. It's more of, every time I have a conversation with her, we get really close. It's more of putting in a situation where she has too much. It's just too easy for her to distance herself. Which, to be honest with you, to put yourself in that situation and getting hurt, realistically, you're just hurting yourself by putting yourself there.
Yeah, when it all draws back to her being in fear.
Being sincere. Because we have these conversations where she always gets pulled into the conversation. We always have these, it's like that one conversation we had, the last one we had, where she was talking about a guy that she wanted to explore. And she goes, I think I might still love this guy. And then she asked me questions. It's kind of funny how she asked me questions. What do you think?
she's basically talking about you.
I knew who she was talking about. She actually mentioned the guy by name. And then I was sitting there going, okay, no problem. But see, the thing was, in the last conversation I had with her, she said her mentioned the guy and said, this guy's a part of my life right now, so I want to see, check that out. So then we started talking, and I said, well, you want to talk about him some more? I'll be glad to listen. She's like, no, no, we already talked about him. And it was like, next thing, like I told a friend of mine, I said, the conversation was nothing about me. There was nothing in the conversation about him, period. It was just me and her.
It was about you. Yep.
All about me. We talked about this, and she had mentioned some things and that kind of stuff, and I was just like, my friend said if she mentions any kind of personal things, just go with the flow on the whole thing and just answer the questions and tell her, yeah, you know, if you were here right now, I would love to be with you in all kinds of, you know, in any kind of way, in all kinds of ways. So I sit here and said, because usually I used to sit here and say, well, you know, we'd sit here and keep it on a nice level and say, no, it's all about love and this kind of stuff. And, you know, the physical is important too. So I just sat there and said, so this time instead of, you know, playing, which is the ideal thing. Instead of going the route and saying, no, I would love to do other things in a romantic way. I just said, yes, if you were here right now, I would love to be with you. And it was just one of those things. I just went with the flow. And then the conversation got to the point where she goes and say, I have to go take a shower. Okay. And we just keep on talking. And then she was like, but seriously, I go take a shower. And we were talking. It wasn't until I actually said, I know you need to go take a shower, and I'll just stop talking. And then she left. I was like, my friend says, you see that? She's like, pulled in. And it's not that, it's almost like saying, it's not the idea of being pulled in. It's just the idea of understanding where you really want to be at. At that moment, that's the only thing that's important. So the idea of not having communication with her right now, as I was telling my friend, you think that the idea of doing the right thing can always be the easy thing to do? Then you're sad. You know? How do I feel about this person? She came in my when she came in my room Wednesday, I was actually getting a reading from somebody that came in my room who said they were a medium, and they decided to do a reading for me. We're right in the middle of this reading and stuff, and she comes in the room. I'm thinking to myself, going, was that a coincidence? Well, like it was with the poetry I was reading. She comes in
every time she gonna come in.
Yeah, so I was telling my friend of mine. She said, I know you're probably going nuts with the idea of no communication when you want to just reach out and say hello. But she said, I'm telling you right now, there has to be initial communication. Excuse me, because it's one of those things of somebody being on the same page, coming to a realization. You want someone to come to you and say, hey, this is what I want. I just realized what I want. I said, oh, me too. I know what I want. And it's like I was talking.
Yeah, she wants the same. Yeah, she wants the same thing. It's just her being, she just needs to admit it.
Yeah, she's being stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
I sat here and talked to her. I told a friend of mine, I was like, okay, friend, tell me this. I keep seeing 26s everywhere, and I keep hearing her name every freaking where. Now, let's put it like this: her name is a unique name of a certain particular month of the year, okay? Which is not August, it's not September, but I keep hearing this one all the time. I was sitting there the other day. I was in my friend's hotel. I was sitting there talking to her, and I freaked. When this guy came in and said, she goes, they had a problem here because one of the places that he was going to go to when we had the fires out here got burned, so they gave him back his money. And they were sitting there talking about when did he make his initial reservation. And he made the reservation in the month of her name. And I said, okay.
Wow.
I've been hearing April. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say April, sorry. Anyway.
I already knew it was April.
You heard the thing, right? The other thing is I have a nickname for her. And right at that moment, after we already heard the April part, then another part came in. She has a German Shepherd. She yelled for her German Shepherd, which her German Shepherd is called Angel. And that was the nickname I had for her. So, you know, me personally looking at a situation like that, of those two happening in less than 2 seconds apart from each other. And then... She sits there and she said that she's talking to the guys who got the reservations, right? And I think they're around. She said, "Oh, your rooms are up here at 26 and 27." Okay. What's up? You know. So I was sitting going, see, I have a tendency to do it like this. I see all the signs, but it's not like some people have a tendency to sit there and evaluate these things over and over and over again. You just look at the situation going, okay. You just look at the situation. They keep falling into place. They keep, certain things keep happening, that kind of stuff. So therefore, it's the anticipation of the outcome. Okay? Because a friend of mine was sitting there. I have a tendency to get a little bit, really get appalled by people in situations of certain questions they ask. You know, they're sitting there going, okay, we're sitting here. The outcome they want is to be with this person. But they want to know about everything in between. And I said, that's not your business. They go, what do you mean? What if he's with somebody else? What if he's doing this? Da, 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 da. I'm sitting there going, it could be part of the realization that's going to bring the outcome that you want. Do you really need to know that? And actually, if you look at all the freaking books on manifestation, it actually says that. The universe, the middle part is for the universe, God, angels, universe. That's their part. Arranging everything else, so therefore the outcome happens. And what your job is to sit there and ask, and then go right to the point of anticipation of the outcome you're looking for. And I think people should sit there and look at the situation. What is your outcome? Is your outcome really getting back together or getting together? Or is your outcome really living and sharing your lives together in that relationship you've been wanting? I think it's the idea of the relationship sharing and experiencing it. That's the outcome.
Together.
Yeah, together. Love, life, the whole bit. Not the idea of getting back together, because that's like a brick. You know, getting back together, let's focus on that. Why? Because if you focus on the idea of sharing your life, say like if your outcome is to live together, to be together, and be married, don't you think in the process of being married, did you guys get back together? And you didn't have to worry about that, because your focus being married and sharing your lives together. That's the outcome. It's the thing that you're living, but you want to be living. You don't want that. You don't want the idea of the brick that says the date you guys got back together. You want to sit there and experience a lifetime together. So that's the outcome. That's the anticipation. And also, they've also sit there and said the situation with people already being in relationships, that affirmations, working with affirmations and working together can actually increase and enhance those relationships and bonds, connections between two people, because they're actually doing those things together. You know, most of the time when you want experiences with people and like even careers and stuff like that, if you're already together and married, I've seen the one relationships that seem to be the most fruitful and fulfilling are the ones that are always supporting their spouses on their careers and what they want to do with their lives and their dreams. And actually with the two that have that kind of energy, their lives actually have a tendency to be enhanced, because the more a person dreams, the more a person starts living their dreams, it just enhances everything else around them. And if you are together in a marriage, would it just increase the marriage and the situation, the bond between the two?
I would think.
So I'm sitting there looking at the situation going, what? No freaking communication in September? Me personally, I feel very strong.
At the end of the month, I see y'all talking at the end of the month. Towards the end of the month.
So I was telling my friend, she goes, I said, realistically, what do I need to do? And she goes, nothing.
Nothing. Let her do it.
Because she's saying, you've already planted all the seeds. You've already told her and told her and told her. She goes, if someone tells you, you need to call her and tell her how you feel again. She's saying, she goes, me. Because she's now with her is, the reason she's having a hard time communicating is her pride. And she doesn't know what to say to you on the phone. And that's pretty evident. That's pretty evident, too, because a text I got was asking a question about a bag that she thought was, she goes, is my bag, did I leave my bag here? Now, I told my friend, I said, this is what I hear. I miss you and I wish I was there. So what happened, as some people would look at the idea, that's a weird text. I don't think so. And the idea of coming in my chat room and doing all this other stuff is the person is gravitating towards you. And the one thing you need to do in a situation like these is the idea of not let your own insecurities kick in and say, well, what happened? What if? That goes against the outcome, doesn't it? If you start questioning the what if in a negative way, you need to sit there and look at the situation and go, okay, when we, I tell people when you get readings too, you should use them as levers to get what you want, make sure it happens. So we look at the situation of communication. And people might look at the situation and go, what communication? It's the idea of the gravitation of that kind of thing. I started a focus board on this thing too, which you probably know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was sitting telling a friend of mine, and it's like focusing on just certain things in your life that once those are in place, it's like a foundation. I actually found this one thing too in this book. It's called Creative Visualization. And I was sitting there, there's a section in here where it talks about, it says, to clear and stronger your intention, the more quickly and easily your creative visualization will work. In any given situation, ask yourself about the condition of your intention. If it is weak or uncertain, it can often be strengthened by affirming, I now have total intentions to create this here and now. So you sit and look at the situation of a focus board would be great. You're looking at the focus board, you got all these things as if it already happened, and then you consider and focus on this. And actually what you do is you focus on the morning for a couple minutes. Just kind of reaffirm it, go over it. Yes, this is my life with this person. It's great, it's fantastic. This is my wife. And people kind of get crazy with the situation when you start saying things like that. And they go, well, you don't know if you want to spend the rest of your life with this person. Yes, I do. See, you have to watch. Because if you come to my house, you don't get to go anywhere near my focus board. Okay, there's nobody's negative energy touching this thing. I also have this other thing too, that it's in our bedroom. So therefore, that's our sacred space, just like it was, as in it's already happened, as in it's happening, right? So if you were together, and you were in a relationship, so it's like, well, this don't say what if. So you're in a relationship, you're married, and you're living this life together, you're sharing your lives together, I guarantee your bedroom will be off limits to everybody else, so why not make it that way now, in the idea of intention?
Yes.
Okay, so I sit there and walk up, I look at my focus board, I said, so this is my wife, and then I sit there and say, I have total intentions to create this, here and now. And I just kind of look at the whole focus board thing, you know. It's got the description of the relationship. It's got everything on there. So when you start looking at these situations and you go, I now have total intentions to create this here and now, okay, then that's just like the ideal of strengthening your convictions, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I tell people you have to focus more. And it's like one of those things, maybe there's some days you feel weak. And then just sit there and look at yourself and say, I so-and-so am in a happy, committed, romantic, deep, loving relationship with, you know, blank. People go, I like your blanks. Okay, you want me to sit and read while I got down here? Okay, fine. It says, I, Donnie Reed, am in a happy, committed, romantic, deep, loving relationship with April Austin, living a happy, fulfilling marriage and life together now. That's the first person. The second, I write it in the first, second, and third. And then when I get done with that, I say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned, so be it, so it is. And then I sit there and have my little quotient here at the end. I lost it. Anyway, then we put that little, we put this one here saying, I now have total intentions to create this here and now. And then we go on with the rest of our lives, you know, fixing dinner, looking, you know, focusing on what we got to do, that kind of stuff, living our lives. Because what's a crucial important I've seen in all these situations is in the process of living your life is the easiest way to detach from it. The more you detach from it, the more space you give it, the more energy you give it too as well. And you also give the angels, everything that goes along with the situations, you give them the space where this can actually unfold naturally. And it all happens like that. Boom. So when you do that, what do you get? You get what you want. Brand new ideals, inspirations. You see that you're seeing the truth of the situation and a challenging beginning. Now, people say a challenging beginning. I think sometimes it can be a challenging beginning and the ideal of having a realization within yourself. I've had manifestations happen before where it kind of freaks me out. I had one long, long time ago, which it had to do with relationship. And I was sitting there going, okay, God, angels, I know that we're supposed to be together. But she's like 1,200 miles away. I'm here. She's there. I know where she's at. I actually was kind of funny, too, because she ran away, and she was trying to say she was in Kansas when she was actually in Florida. And then she wanted me to pay her phone bill one time. And we started talking again, because it was funny too, because in the process we wasn't talking, it was distance. I mean, this is another one too, where she's in Florida, I'm in freaking Ohio, and all this distance going on. What I did was I never questioned anything. Miracles defy anything; they defy reality. So I sit here and looked at the situation. I was just saying, God, angels, I know this is supposed to happen, but you know. And I stopped and I said, okay, I know it's going to happen. I said, what I need right now is to cut this distance out. Okay? So it was kind of funny, too, to get someone's intentions on this, too, which was like a really cool thing, because I was trying to find out what her true intentions were, right? So she calls me up. We're talking. Okay? And I tell her, I said, why don't you send me... I need to get a Netspend card, but all my IDs, when you took off and left me, are in your van in the sun visor. And I need those. I need my ID to get a Netspend card because they won't let me have one without these things. And I said, I already talked to the lady, and I thought this was kind of weird too, because I already talked to the lady at the cash land, and she said, okay. She goes, I can give you one of these Netspend cards if I have two forms of ID. I said, well, my IDs are with my... I told her the story. And she goes, well, if you can get her to fax those to me, then... Because she goes, all we're going to do, too, is just get copies of them and then give the copies back and then give you the originals back to you. So all we really need is a copy for my records. Now, I was starting to think about the situation that the lady would even do this because they have policies and they usually want to see the IDs, right? Allowing me to get the IDs from somebody in Florida and we were still in Ohio. So I thought, okay, this is your first miracle. Somebody's going against policy and is going to give you a Netspend card. And the process of getting a Netspend card, when she faxes the information, you're going to know exactly where she's at. Right,
okay?
Yeah.
So we got that. Information. That's where she was, in Florida. So therefore, I guess it helped my manifestation, too, to realize I needed to get a ride from there to there, which actually, 2 weeks later, well, actually, it was two or three days later, I found out this guy that I was working with was going to Florida from Ohio, and he actually came to me and says, you think you know where your girlfriend lives in Florida? I said, yeah. He said, I'm going to Tampa. What was so funny about it was, Tampa... from where she was only 12 miles. So I went so this thing found place, 1,200 miles dropped down to 12 miles. And I'd written something in my book. This was crazy. I wrote this in my journal. I said, since she left, then she needed to come back and pick me up and take me home. Okay, so I catch a ride with Chuck. We go to Florida. We get a hotel room in Tampa. I call her up where she's at 12 miles away. I talk to her. She came and picked me up. And before the night was over with, she took me home with her. So I was just casually reading my journal. And I said, oh, my God. And I remember I wrote this, too. I was sitting there writing this thing down. I sit and go, okay, since she left me, she needs to come back and get me. And I was like, well, maybe I shouldn't write that. My angels came in and said, what do you want? I want her to come back and pick me up since she's left and take me home. Then they said, write it down. So I wrote it down, forgot all about it. Okay? And then I was just, we got back together. I was in Florida talking. We had gotten back together. And we had just gotten this four-bedroom house. And I was sitting reading the journal. And I read that one thing in there. I was like, oh, my God, that happened. It happened just the way it said. And I started reading other things in my journal and started realizing the other things in my journal had also come true, too. So I was like, this is wild. But I also noticed I stopped writing. Let's just put it this way. I wouldn't say stop writing. It was just the ideal that I got caught in the whole situation. And I focusing on intentions and started feeding into fear again. What would happen? I said, if it happens again. And it was kind of funny that when I focused on that one negative thought, a lot of things that had happened in a positive way really got redirected very quickly. So it teaches you one thing. And the process of sticking to your guns, sticking to your beliefs, and not underestimating yourself is really crucially important. And when you start giving those things up again, it usually sends you back down the same path again. So that's what I was saying with this situation is like I'm pointing out to people saying they might not understand the idea of what I'm doing, but I love and care about somebody so much that I guess I'm willing to go through my own pain to help her understand how special she is because of what we had together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. So but she is your soulmate then.
Yeah, well, I would actually go a little further than that, but it's twin flames. Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, it's kind of one thing I do miss about her too is we'd have these disagreements about certain things, and then she'd go off and think about them. I would go and think about them. We'd come back and talk about them later on, and we only seem to have different perceptions. Or my favorite one is we were stubborn about certain things, and then she came to me one day and she goes, I don't think we're twin flames because we really don't have a lot in common. I said, really? She goes, yeah. Why, you think differently? I said, yeah, I do. And she goes, really? I said, yeah, two stubborn people, button heads. Of two twin flames, I don't know what it is. And then she kind of smiles, doesn't say anything, okay? So, but it's like one of those things that go, wow. You start to think about such things and you'll just realize how much you really miss people. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I missed about her. Nice. It's like one of those things. Take the person, I'll tell you. It's very, I don't know even how to put it anymore. It's like, you can look at, I was there telling a friend of mine, I was like, what, you know, like missing a person, missing her as in the humming and singing, you know? Humming and singing, singing and humming. Just, you know, things, small things, I guess you would sit there and say, with a person and certain things, saying this and that and the other, and you know, watching somebody as she's, we were up in Manitou Springs, and we were sitting on a park bench, and we were just asking people if they want to get a palm reading for free. You know, she get a palm reading, and watching her light up as she's giving this palm reading to this guy, and she's getting all these things right. Certain things like that, where I used to pay attention and watch her, and watch how she has, and it might sound crazy, it might sound like a line from a movie, some people might think, but people do have different facial characteristics about certain things and have a tendency to have variations that you can actually see with people when they change the motions and that kind of thing. And I could, she has a way of smiling when she's perplexed. There's other ways where she smiles where she's kind of like confused. And there's other times when she smiles where she's happy. And there's other things when she smiles, she's content, trying to figure out this, that. And just all these things you start noticing about people. It drives you nuts. Those are the things that really say, okay, you need to call me. We need to sit down and talk because I miss you. Sometimes I would sit there and look at somebody and say, you know, I've done this before too, but I have a tendency, it's like one of those things you have a tendency to really treat people with a lot of respect.
Yeah.
And the one thing about realization. I have my own. When I sit here and look at the situation of my own realizations of, you know, really seeing somebody for who they really are and really realizing that you really care about that person and the essence of who they are. And that's what it was. So I was sitting here trying to figure that one out, huh? Anyway. But, yeah, I was sitting there going over some things, and I can see her. It's like, I think the more you really focus on the essence of a person, who they really are, you really, really get a really clear picture of who they are. And then you start looking at the situation and saying, you know something, a person, some people sit there and go, well, she did this, she did that, she was really cruel, she was mean. You're sitting there going, who cares? Sometimes you love somebody and care about them enough to realize that in the process of realizations and experiences they go to that actually led to the outcome of actually being together again in a great relationship, you start looking at those things in a different manner of realizing that you actually appreciate those experiences because it actually brought you to the point where you're both on the same page and you realize you're something special. You're a part of something special because you are a special person. But the person that you're looking at, like she used to sit there and tell me, like, you're awesome, you're great, you're fantastic, you're gifted. And I would just sit there and look at her too and say, you know something? Like attracts like, and so are you. You're fantastic, awesome, and gifted. I don't think so. You can think all you want to, sweetie. It's right there in front of you. I'm reflecting back at you about you. Maybe you're not living what you see right now, but it's definitely pointing out to you. It's definitely in you, or we wouldn't be crossing paths. It also helps you understand that we are who we are and why we are together. I remember one day I looked her in her face and I said, don't feel like you. I said, don't let me be an don't let me intimidate you. I'm not here to intimidate you. If you would have saw the expression in her face, I think she was kind of like, what? How do you know that? You know, how do you know I was feeling intimidated? And that's what I was saying. I said, you don't need to be intimidated by me. You need to look at the ideal, the potential, that what you can become and what you really are if you just allow it to come out and live your life to the fullest. That's what it's saying, you know? And I think those are, if you've got, I'm just looking at people going, if you've got a relationship like that, then you should embrace it and realize if you feel like you're losing yourself in that relationship, you're not losing yourself. You're becoming very comfortable with who you're with and you're allowing yourself to become a part of something special. Because at that moment, people are always looking for one thing. I'm looking to find myself. Do they realize in the process of seeing a reflection, it reflects back at you that clearly that you have just found yourself? It also helps you understand why a person is running away from you. They're not running away from you. They're running away from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sit there and understand the situation and look at somebody who had to go through certain things to get back so they can actually be comfortable with the reflection that's being reflected back at them about themselves. But we can also learn from both sides. You know, I sit there and looked at her, and I still look at her. And, you know, it's like I can see where I came from. Not because she's beneath me, but she's a reflection of me too as well. That we can actually learn from the reflection, both of us. She can become, you know, this, you know, it's like you are a very gifted, talented woman too. So you can become that. At the same time, it's helping both of us to propel ourselves and go forward and realize it's an acceptance of who you are. Once you accept who you are, then you realize it's okay to say, I am awesome, great, and talented. Because it reflects. It's not a sign of egotisticness. It's a sign of confidence. And once you have that kind of confidence, it's going to enhance everything. It's going to enhance your relationship. It's going to enhance the communication between the two. And it's also going to help you both be more of a reflection for everybody else. It'll also help them understand they can also obtain their goals and dreams too as well. So seeing we can learn situations and experiences, because I'm learning from this thing every day. And it's going to make her right this moment and tell her how much I'm actually still learning from her, of what she's actually taught me as much as me teaching her. And
yeah.
Realize why I say we are twin flames, why we are meant to be together, because you can't see it any other way.
Oh, so who is Andre to me then? Is he a soulmate or a twin flame or half flame?
Half flame?
Yeah, however they say it.
half flame? It's your other half flame. Now you got full flame, and then it's very intense. And but anyway, look at the situation. It's the idea of looking at you two.
Okay.
You want this place and the ideal, what does he teach you about yourself? So therefore you can also become that, reflect it back in him, so therefore he learns too as well. Because when you look at a situation, twin flames is what I would look at the situation of two people, almost like two peas in a pod. He can sit there and he can say what he wants. which he pretty much does, but he'll, yeah, that's one of the things where you look at situations, everything is going to fall into place and be fine. Some people ask the question, what if it doesn't? Ask yourself that question. Shouldn't you also sit there and look at the situation a little bit closer and go, okay, are you willing to miss out on the whole thing? Or are you willing to change your intentions to get what you want? Because what it's doing, when you sit here and start thinking about the situation, what if in a negative way, it's just at that moment you're having a lack of faith in yourself. You need to regain the whole thing. It says, no. I've done this. I said, no. I am not feeding into this whole thing. Me and her are going, if not already, together now. And I will not see it any other way. That's what I see. This is my wife. This is my life. This is my life purpose. If not my life gain, and the ideal of the, how this person is going to enhance my life as much as me enhance her life. And that's just the ideal of having that much confidence saying, no, that's what's going to happen. That's what it is. And it is what it is. So be it. It is what it is. So be it. So it is. Whoa. I got twisted up in that one myself. I mean, seriously, it's like, look at the situation. When you start having doubts and certain things, just take a look at those situations and go, okay, how can I correct this or make it more stronger in my convictions to actually where the outcome will be exactly what I see? And it's the idea, those are like little bits of insecurities. So we just correct those within ourselves, which actually corrects the situation and keep going forward again. Well, to tell you guys the truth, that's the end of the show. We just ran out of time. Now we're in recording mode. And tell you the truth, I'm surprised I made it this far because it's one of those things. I don't know if you've ever had it's like a headache, but it's not a headache. Like there's something there, but it's not a headache. So it doesn't hurt. It's just irritating because you sense something like, okay, my sinuses are wanting to flare up, but they haven't done it yet or something.
Yeah, I had that feeling before. It's weird.
Yes, I told a friend of mine, this is how I describe it. It's like having a plastic bag inflated in your head. Okay, you know it's there. It doesn't hurt, but it does occupy a space. And that's the only way I can describe it. It's weird. So I said, sometimes all I got to do is go outside and take a nice long walk and get some fresh air, and it goes away. So it might just be the idea of correcting an imbalance. Where I just need some fresh air to get out of this freaking stagnant air of this home and open the windows and change things around again, too. Because I've done it before in my bedroom where I open the windows and stuff and just get a really strong circulation going through here just to clear everything out. I also recommend, if you can find them, go on the internet and check out these things called salt lamps. I think it's Himalayan salt lamps. They actually really bring in a lot of positive energy in your home by just plugging them in. They radiate, they heat the salt itself up, which actually, from what I heard, it puts negative ions into the atmosphere. But in the ideal, I think these ions connect with the oxygen, I think, and creates positive energy. Somehow the negative creates.
Oh, pretty, yeah, give me some.
Huh?
Those lamps are pretty.
I forget them. Getting a fifth one. I mean, fourth one. Fifth one. Maybe I'm jumping the gun again. Let's go for five. I sat there and told my friend, I was like, I've been trying to do the affirmations. Call me. You know, I do recommend that when you get your focus board, I do have a tendency to talk to mine quite a bit. Because I actually had gotten a picture of me and her as a couple. We took a picture together. And I use that picture and put it right in the middle of the whole thing saying, this is my wife, this is our life, and the idea of holding each other is like looking at the situation in a different manner. You know, you experience memories, okay? Like we've gone places and we've done things with each other here. And what I do was I just focus on recreating, going to those places, but creating more, maybe more intense memories with those situations. And then I sit there and focus on those as visualizations. That we went to the bridge and we sit down, we had a nice talk, see us sitting here talking and having a great time. Seeing us sitting here laughing and joking around, but these are things that are happening that reflect memories of things we did before, but we would do them again because of where we live. So we sit there and use those. That's what I tell people. You can use past experiences as present situations that are happening right now. So those are great to use. And we actually have a video, too, that we took of each other and of us interacting with each other. So you can also see there's a lot of ways to actually enhance your visualizations. But the creative visualization, you're creating this light between two people. In the process of creating this, it also says in the books and all the literature that I've written, too, that if you can imagine it, it exists. You cannot imagine something that does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of use your imagination, you know, your imagination is overstimulated. Yeah, that's how I manifested everything else, and we're going to keep doing that, okay? Thank you. And they're like, okay. Hey, you're a lawyer. You know, people who have a tendency to be really logical, they say you create your reality. But I don't think they understand what they're actually saying. I'm very successful, so I created my reality, but my relationships suck. Which means he hasn't got the whole full gravity of realizing that in the process of manifestation, when you manifest things, it's energy. It doesn't matter if it's a relationship, a car, a career. And people have a tendency to have no problem manifesting careers, cars, houses, and all kind of good stuff. But when it comes to relationships, they don't realize all those things that they were doing was an interaction of a relationship, of energy that they were putting out there with their intentions. So it's the same thing with relationships, too. You sit there and focus on seeing these things. And the ideal, two people have a tendency to be put on the same wavelength of energy, a frequency, and they can come together. Because usually it's something about the situations of, like, with really great relationships. I mean, when you look at the situation between me and April, it was the ideal of a fear. Now, if you could use visualization and affirmations, and things like that to clear out the blockages that cause those fears, then you neutralize the fears. You also neutralize the blockages between the two of you. So therefore, it actually puts two people in a situation where they can do what they really want to do, because there's no fears that keep them from doing it. And when you hear people have excuses, those excuses are created from fear. You know, like I remember when I asked her to come back out here, and she's like, "Well, I really don't want to get on an airplane, and it's too far from my family." When she was actually couldn't wait to get away from her family. You can see the irritation in her face of her family. So you look at the situations and realize these are just excuses of where she really wants to be at. So what you do is you focus on clearing out the obstacles and fears. You know, focusing on loving oneself and realizing oneself deserves to have what they had and go after it, get it, go for it. And sometimes the realizations can drive you crazy on the other part of us who know better and know what's going on. Because that's what I was saying before when I was talking about the situation. I'm sticking to what I know to be the truth. I'm sticking to knowing how I feel, what I see. I saw the visions. I saw the dreams. I've seen the cards. I've seen the angels, I've seen the guides who tell me all the things, I've seen the past life that we had together here. You know, and it was one of those things where I want to sit down and tell her about that past life, to tell her maybe that's part of her fear too. Because when we were here before, and the past life that we had together, she was killed. So we had a fantastic relationship, a fantastic life, and then she was taken out abruptly. And now we have that chance to actually live that life. In the process of those, no more of those mistakes happening. We can actually divert those because of a past life where things happened, because of the same place here. And I think that's why she was so gravitated, so drawn here too. She will. That's one thing she has never denied, that we had a past life here. Okay, so when you look at that situation, you're sitting looking at somebody and go, okay, you're sitting denying certain things, but you won't deny that we had a past life. And I thought I was just messing things up, thinking this was my first life here. It's like, April, we all make mistakes. Doesn't matter how many lives we've had, we still make those mistakes. That's how those people go, spiritual people, you know? Spiritual beings. Try to help her understand that point of view, but the mistakes that you made does not imply that you are imperfect. if anything, it's the ideal helping you to actually get closer to, I guess, discovering perfection. It's always what we're striving for. I hate when people say, you know, we're not perfect. Says who? And so if I'm not mistaken, Adam and Eve were perfect until they ate of the fruit, right? Well, when they ate of the fruit, if you read the Bible, it doesn't say they were imperfect. They was not perfect. It shows you that their perception of themselves is different. So maybe the idea that we're all perfect is just our perception tells us otherwise. And if you look at people too, in the process of relationships, I'm feeling like they're not worthy, or even their lives and no career, no relationships, no money is the idea of a lack of worth. Their perception of the lack of worth that they have within themselves also reflects in their outer world of not having anything because they don't feel like they're worthy of it. But then you change their perception of showing them how worthy they are, it's amazing how the outer world changes quick as well. I like doing this show. I learned so much from what I say out of my own mouth. Anyway, seriously, I mean, right now I told a friend of mine, like, you know something, the idea of the situation, I'm trying to put this in a perception where I can deal with it and say, okay, we're together now. Thank you. Because I was sitting there looking at a situation that happened, like when I got this apartment. I remember what I said. I said, I would like to have that apartment. And then 2 days later, I had it.
Wow.
People looked at me like, that happened too quick. What does that mean? What is too quick? I think it's too quick for their perception. They're thinking that happened too quick. So I was thinking, okay, what could I say that actually could act, where I could actually have April living, being in this apartment where we'd be living or sharing our lives right now. So I was like looking at thinking, okay, I would love to have April back in this apartment right now with us being in a romantic relationship, sitting down and preparing to get married.
Yeah.
So be it, so it is. I think that's a good one, don't you think? I think I should do. I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I said I did my focus board, and I said, there's actually a date that we get married on there. She goes, really? You put a date on there? Yeah, why not? If we actually create these things, why not be scared to put it out there? That's another part of the perception.
Yeah.
It's another part of the perception that people are scared to death if we put too much detail into things, that they'll be even more disappointed when it doesn't happen, not realizing they might not be disappointed at all. And sometimes I look at people, too, and I say, okay, maybe it won't fall into place the way you want it to. But I guarantee it's going to happen because a lot of times it doesn't. Because there's a lot of things that happen we're not taking into consideration. But the universe can actually have these things, or God, angels, and that kind of thing, can actually have these situations fall into place a little more perfect way than we ever thought about doing. It could actually be the best, that could be in the best interest of everyone concerned. We just never took in consideration. But in the process of our guidance, they have a tendency to see things differently than we do. Because there is no obstructions. There is no human concept through either. Our human perception of lack of limitations. They have a tendency to sneak in. Because I was sitting there talking to this one lady one day. I got mad at her. And I managed to approach it a different way, but she was just irritating the hell out of me. When I was sitting there talking to her, she goes, am I going to hear from my best friend? And I said, yeah. I feel like you're going to hear from your best friend. You guys are going to talk to me. But she's way in Texas. And where are you at? But she's way in Texas. How's that going to happen? I said, I don't understand the question. What makes you think it won't happen? She goes, well, she's way in Texas. And I said, I said, it's like 2 hours on a plane. Just get on the freaking plane and go. She goes, well, I have a child who has autism. I just can't do that. You don't understand my life. And I said, you know something? I'm going to take that very offensively. And she goes, why is that? Because you're assuming. You never ask me if I have a child. I might be autistic too. You just assume that you're the only person on this freaking planet that has a child with a disability and that kind of stuff, and you're playing the victim. And I'm sorry you're mad at me because I won't allow you to. Because I know for a fact, I have my youngest daughter, she had a learning disability. And it was one of those things of learning certain things to deal with her, because my friend says, you don't have to deal with a child like that. I said, how do you know I don't? You guys are all assuming I don't know anything about this. I've had a friend who had a child like that. I had to deal with my own child who had a learning disability. You have a tendency to learn a lot of things that you're trying to pass on to other people to make their lives more simpler. And all they want to do is hang. It's amazing how people defend a life they don't like. I've always been freaking fascinated by that. So they're going, my life sucks. Can you help me out? Then you give them some information on how to help them out. Then they want to defend that life. Well, I got to do this. Says who? They said, well, you know, I'm a bad person, so I got to do this. Since when? I made mistakes. So what? Who hasn't? You're just assuming since you made bad mistakes that this is karma coming back to teach you. But actually, you think karma's come back and to punish them. They don't realize karma doesn't come back to punish you. It comes back at the time it needs to teach you something that you put out there, so you won't put it out there no more. I was just like, oh, man, people just want to hang on. I was talking to April about working at a restaurant and how she defended that. Oh, I just love my job. I said, April, I'm sorry, but I've never seen anybody realistically tell me that they love being a waitress. And believe, and that's what I'm saying too. Yeah, I told her flat out, I'm sorry but if I have this opinion about this, but I've lived these things. I was a waiter myself. And I guarantee you, if I was doing this kind of work and living my dream, and it's the next thing I know, I was working at a restaurant for tips, I'd be asking myself, what the hell am I doing? And I hate to say that, but that's exactly what she did. She was living here. You know, I got her a job at three companies. She was working. I remember when she asked me, she said her dream was to be a working professional psychic. And in less than a month, she was. And the next thing I know, she was out here. We were having a great time, doing the whole thing. Sure, we had our little disagreements, but then again, what couple doesn't? You know? And even to this day, I just sit here and talk to her. It's amazing how we have these conversations, and the one thing that she tried to use as an excuse to leave here, she never mentions it. Thought that was well. She's never mentioned the argument. And if she does, she always mentions it in a joking way. I can't believe you argued with me for a day and a half over that stupid stuff. And then she laughs about it. So see, people look at the situation, well, she thinks she's mad about it. She's laughing about it. She's just like saying nonchalantly, what'd you do that for? Yeah, what'd you leave for? You know? I was always there for her. She goes, no, you wasn't. No, she didn't say it that way. It was funny, too. This is what you're sitting here talking. This last conversation I had on the phone with her. And she was sitting there talking. I said, April, I don't know what your problem is. I said, here you are doing all this stuff for your family, who's never been there for you, who's never supported you in anything. And I said, the one person you're pushing away, which is me, I think, I feel, is the person who's always supported you on everything. And she's like, I said, it was like she made a weird noise. I was like, oh, are you talking about that one time I was supposed to go with you? When you had to go take care of something in Connecticut? And she goes, yes. I said, well, if I'm not mistaken, I asked you, did you want me to go with you? And you said, nope. I got my mom going with me. And I said, if you would have said go, I would have flown from here to where you're at, and I would have drove up there with you, because all you did was complain about how your mom was not there for you. She was watching television. And I said, yeah, your mom was sitting there complaining because you were telling me everything. Maybe that's what her problem was. You should be telling your mom. Well, mommy's too busy watching television. So I have a boyfriend who listens to everything I say. Which is the truth. She tells me everything. Some of the things she told me, I'm surprised. But she did. And I'm glad she did. Because I feel like that was, to me, are the highlights of your relationship, of actually being that comfortable with each other, trusting each other. But you tell each other everything, because you feel like you can, because you're not being judged. You know, it's like when I said you're talking about the freaking thing with this working in as a waitress and stuff. I was like, I was telling her, you know, I'm not judging you. I'm just stating a fact, girl. You were living your dream. You were living a career. You were living your life purpose, and now you're working for tips. So doesn't that kind of resonate with you kind of weird? Why? And she's like, well, you know, I got to pay my car payment. of a car you don't even want, a car you don't even like. You know, I was telling her when she left, I said, April, do you realize if you would never left him, you wouldn't have no financial problems? You wouldn't have nothing to complain about? And you wouldn't have to deal with not having any privacy? And you could walk around the house naked? You know?
Okay. That's the joy of it.
Like I was telling her, I said, I'm not emphasizing on that. I'm just saying how comfortable and how at home you feel. That you don't feel that way with your own family. You can
feel free.
Yeah, so I was always trying to tell her, you know. I was like, yeah, I said, you can say whatever you want to say, but I feel like the reason you left because you got too comfortable here and you were scared because you were getting, every day was one of those things of saying, forget it. I don't want to go home because I'm already home. I heard that one day when we were sitting coming back, she goes, let's go home. And you could feel a little tension there. I just said, let's go home. I want to go home. Okay, let's go home. And then, you know, it's like telling somebody flat out, the guy, you know, no uncomfortability and how people feel. And I was like, I told her, I said, all your stuff was in my windows. Everything was just like, da, da, da. If I would have probably had some dressers, she probably would have put all of her stuff in those dressers too. I just didn't have them. But it's like looking at those situations realistically too. I was just having a great time her being here. Sure, I argue with her, but that we only. I was like a sinner saying, you don't take an argument. You don't take one argument. Maybe the argument was for a day and a half. Okay, you just don't. I said after all the time we spent together and having that one kind of argument, you don't throw away a lifetime for one argument.
Yeah, that's true.
And it was like, you know, I told a friend of mine, I was like, let's have some confidence and see what happens and say, okay, what do you feel? I said, I feel like it's one of those things, it's a done deal, she's coming back. You know? I mean, I've seen too many visions that says she is. I mean, I was sitting here watching it one day when I saw her in a wedding dress. That was free because I was sitting here talking to her. She reached down to pick something up and I'm like, whoa, did I just see what I just thought I saw? And it caught me by surprise. And my friend was like saying, you didn't see though. She goes, that wasn't your imagination. She said, you actually saw a vision of you and her. And you saw her in a wedding dress. She's your bride. She goes, I just see you guys getting married and everything like that. She goes, I don't know what's going to happen after you guys get married or how long it's going to last. But she said, I definitely see you guys living together, being married, having a life and a family together. But she said, I can actually see the kids. She said, I don't care what anybody says. I can see the kids. I can see children. I can see the whole bit. And I can see how happy you guys are. That's the thing. She goes, I can understand why she'd be kind of scared of that because maybe she's never had that kind of happiness. Or maybe that's kind of support. And it's like I told a friend of mine, I was like, yes. And I said, well, the one thing I want to see is I want to sit down and I want to definitely experience that with her now. Now, as in today, this today, this hour, this minute, this second. To sit there and have that, I said, I guarantee you, the one thing that scares me the most is when she does come to that door and I open it up, I'm hoping I don't hug her too much where I cut her in half. That's the thing that I've pictured the most, that I know for a fact that it'd be like one of the happiest days of my life, knowing that she's knocking on the door and knowing that she's on the other side. And all I have to do is open it up.
Yep, and let her in,
and then
make up,
yeah. Even to the point where I know for a fact that when she shows up, and I open that door, she's probably going to sit there and cry for a while. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, she is.
That's what I was saying. I was telling my friend of mine. She kind of goes back and forth on this thing where she's like. She goes, I feel like she's going to call, and I think you should talk to her. Because I feel like when she does, she will definitely want to talk about getting back together and coming back out there. And she said, there's another thing is, you could also not answer the phone and leave her alone and put her in a position where she will make a decision out of character. You know, she'll do something out of character and just show up at your door. Because she said, I still see her showing up at that door. I've actually heard that three times. Where they people just say, I just feel like she's just going to show up, that she's going to sit there and she goes, she might see some people look at the situation going, her driving clear across country, I don't know if we can see that or not. But then again, when we look at the idea of miracles, and people doing things out of character, it's the ideal showing, being put in positions to actually show their own strengths, what they can do. She came here because
I see her showing up at the door in tears with luggage.
She's what?
I see her showing up at your door crying with holding bags in her hands.
Holding bags in her hands.
Like luggage, clothes and stuff.
Yeah, I was talking to my friend. My one friend said, she goes, I feel like this girl has a lot of shit. I was like, what? She goes, she has a lot of shit. I said, really? She goes, yeah, because I see her showing up with everything. So don't be surprised if she does take all of her stuff. And she goes, I actually saw a vision of her taking all of everything she's got, everything she owns, and putting it in her car to the point where all she has is a place to sit to drive. But she said, I see her doing it. I see her coming back out there. And she goes, maybe it's one of those situations where she does come out on a plane, and then you guys go back and get her stuff and come back. Because she said, my friend said, I do feel like in some ways that happens, you will be going back with her to get her stuff because you want to make sure she comes back. I was like, you know something? I could actually believe too. That is me. But it'd be like a double-edged sword. I would want to go back with her and make sure, yeah, she comes back, but also be in a situation where I want to make sure she came back. Be a more safer ride for two people to go than one. So what do you say? So when you say what you say you see her showing up in bags. Do you think it's?
Yeah,
I mean,
showing up at your door is like around like 9-10 o'clock your time, and she has bags in her hands, and she's knocking on the door, and she's crying because this is like a awkward moment. You not even knowing that it's her at the door. You just like, okay, who's at the door? And then you open the door like, oh, wow. And she's just like, I miss you. I love you. And just crying. You just grab her and hold her like, come in.
Mm-hmm.
And you helping her with the bags like, okay, sit down. So that's when you say, okay, what is it that you want to do? We can't keep going through this. And she's like, okay, I'm ready to talk.
Yeah. Like she actually gets on a plane and flies out of here, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, my friend was there telling me, she goes, my guides and angels tell me that you don't need to know. It's just the idea it's going to happen. So I was like, okay. Kind of makes sense, too. No, it's just the idea of the situation going, okay. It's like, okay, God and angels, I'm ready. You know, it's one of those, you don't care how she gets out here. It's just the idea she gets out here and that you would like to have it happen now. And the situation, like, where you want the rest of your day, you want the first day of the rest of your lives together to start now. So put it out there. The only thing that kills me is the idea of not, you know, which I mean, to be honest with you, when I sort of look at the situation of no communication, I feel like it's the best thing to do because it really, there's no questions. It's the ideal, everything's done, everything happens, everything falls into place just because it was supposed to. You know, I got the one card I got the most was, it was the ideal talking about everything's happening the way it's supposed to. With hidden blessings, you'll soon understand why. Okay, I got it, guys. All right, seeing the 26s. And my friend said, she goes, you know something? Did you ever think about 26 might be a day that she actually shows up? Because everybody's sitting there thinking about the situation. You're hearing a lot of things go back and forth. But there's also the implication of what she will do. If she's going to do something out of character, can you really predict what that's going to be? Or even when? And I'm like, okay. But they said, yeah. But the idea of no communication actually puts her in a position of where she will think about it. Because you keep talking to her all the time, and you keep telling her how much you love her and care, and everything else that goes along with it just makes her feel comfortable. And the more comfortable she feels, the less likelihood she's going to make a decision. And I said, and it's like, I mean, I know you, but you don't like making people feel uncomfortable. But she has to be put into a position to feel uncomfortable of what she's about to lose. And then realize the reason she's about to lose it is because of her actions, and only her actions. Nobody else's. It's nobody's fault. She said she's already blamed you a couple times for certain things she said don't do, which is also a confirmation that she's not taking accountability for her own actions. And why, I guess it's part of the denial. My friend told me the reason she's more likely she's not doing any kind of psychic work or anything like that, because that's all the things you guys share together. So she allows herself to be even a little bit of a part of those things. It kind of reminds her of you. And the last time I talked on the phone, I did ask her that one. That's what I was sitting talking about, saying, okay, do you miss being here and doing readings? And she went, mm-hmm. I said, okay, so you want to put your foot into it, but you're not going to jump into it.
Yeah, I want her to come back. That'd be awesome for y'all to do like a show together. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah, she's actually been on this show before. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying to you. April used to be on this show. She used to be my co-host. We used to do readings together.
Okay.
Then she came here. I got her a job with this one company I was working with because she said she wanted more calls, so she could actually get more experience. And then she worked for Keen. She works for a random too. And then she had actually applied at a random for us to do readings on a random as a couple. She's even talked about it, of us working together doing readings for people. Actually, one day I was there talking to her and told her all this stuff that was supposed to happen, that we were supposed to experience in our lives. And then she said, who said that? I said, you did. Oh. I was sitting there and everything else. One night I got mad at her, and she said, we were sitting talking, and she said, I just want to be friends right now. And then I was like, oh, April, I said, how do you feel about me? And then she got quiet. I said, okay, I'm going to put it to you like this. I'm not going to tell you how you feel. I'm just going to tell you what I pick up from you on how you feel. So therefore, you can't sit here and look at me. So you're trying to sit here and say, I feel a certain way, and put words in my mouth. And I said, nope, I'm going to sit here and tell you what I pick up from you on how you feel about me. And I told her that, right? All of a sudden, she came back and she was pissed. Because I sit here and say, okay, that's what I feel. Like, deeply in love with me. You care about me. Told about the idea of why she left and everything. And then I said to her and said, you keep coming to my chat room, you keep doing this, you're calling me on the phone, you can't stay away from me. You are about everything. And she said, when you can be my friend, you give me a call. I came back and said, when you can be my girlfriend and be in a real relationship, you give me a call. And I hung up on her. I didn't talk to her for a long time. But I was kind of, I was like, last time too, I just like, I contacted her one night. See, I told her to call me three times, right? Actually, it was two times at that time. I told her, you know, two different occasions I told her to call me. So I text her one night. The morning I sent her the message to call me and talk, and you know, you said your work's going good for you, so let's talk about it. I got some things going on in my life too I'd like to talk to you about. Well, she didn't call. So I text her that night. I said, I thought you were going to call. And she goes, I was sleeping. And I said, you know something? I'm not texting back. I'm done with this. I'm sick of playing games like this. And my friend said, what do you mean? I said, it's like this. If she would have picked the phone up and said, I was sleeping, that's more believable than someone texting it back. Because that takes time and thinking to text it back. Hey, I was not sleeping. Well, fine. You can sleep all you want. And then I also told my friend of mine, I was like, I also noticed that she said she's sleeping, but it also shows that her account is online. I go, well, she could still be online and still be asleep. I said, no, she works on her laptop. So when her laptop's not on, which she sleeps on the freaking couch. She works. So when she's not on the freaking internet, she works on her laptop, so she turns the thing off. I said, it showed that she was on. I said, even if it wasn't showing that she was on, she's been playing games for so long. What is someone supposed to assume? So therefore, if you trace it back to the source, whose fault is it if I assume that she's, maybe she was sleeping. I don't think she was. I think she was just getting a reaction, playing the game, and thinking, because, I mean, I told her bye twice. I've actually given in twice, three times. So she's probably thinking, you know, hey, he's not going to do anything. So therefore, we'll get into our little commotion, and we'll get back together. That's one of the reasons why I stopped talking to her this time, too. Saying, you know something? I'm sorry, but this sounds serious. Until you stop playing games, you want to come back and really make amends, then no one's talking to you no more. And why? It's because you keep playing games. I told a friend of mine, too, it was, I don't want to talk to her on the phone. Unless I can actually talk to her on the phone, where she'll say, let's get back together. I can't deal with it anymore. I know how I feel, and the idea of being friends just ain't going to work. When you have intense feelings for somebody, like, you've already crossed the threshold. You've been so much more than friends. You can't go backwards. And if someone does, if you agree with that, that means somebody's compromising and not being honest with themselves. How can you have a friendship if someone can't be honest with themselves in that situation? So it's the idea. I told my friend, I said, you know something? In all this stuff, I just didn't say I couldn't be your friend. I've told her everything in detail. Everything I've done, every conversation I've had with her, I've done in detail. So to sit there and say a person doesn't know is a person who's definitely in denial. So I told my friend, I'm like, honestly, I said to tell you the truth, I'm doing this not just for me, I'm also doing this for her, to help her realize that if you love somebody, you don't treat them like this. If you're having doubts, you sit down and talk about it. It's the idea of looking back at when we first got together and started talking to each other, how we used to have conversations, where you would actually think about things and come back and say, well, I thought about what you were saying and stuff like this, and this is my opinion. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm seeing it in a different direction, or else she would agree. So then it's like a person needs to look at those situations and ask yourself, okay, why do you sit here and say, right off the bat, he's wrong? When before, you used to listen, take in consideration, mull it over, and then come back and you both talk about it. Now you're scared to death to talk about it. You know? I was talking about her friend, this guy that she said she wanted to check out, make sure the conversation was all about me and her, and how she, if I was there right now, we'd probably be in bed doing this and this and this. And I'm like, instead of sitting and saying, oh no, I'd just rather make love to you and be romantic, I just went along with her and said, yes, you are right. If you were here right now, we would be having a great time. All of a sudden, she stopped. And I said, what's wrong? And she goes, if you were here right now, see my face, you know that's true. I don't think she thought I was going to come back that great. I thought about it for a minute because we had a conversation one time before. And I said, okay, how do you feel about me? And she goes, well, I see you as a friend. And I said, nope. I didn't ask you how you saw. I asked how you feel. I'm sorry, sweetie, I'm a relationship counselor. This is how I help people. To sit there and catch things like this, of people being diverting things because they don't want to deal with it. And she's like, well, I'm sick of talking about relationships. And stop asking me about the readings I've been getting about us when you know for a fact that when I get readings, it's about relationships. And we're having a relationship. And I said, well, one thing you have to agree with, one thing on this whole thing, I told about this the last time I talked, I said, for one thing, you have to admit to one thing. Neither one of us is ready to go with this. You can explore all the things you want to, but those are just things you're putting between us because you don't want to deal with this. But at the same time, there's a side of you just can't let go of it. And I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, was it really a good thing her coming in the chat room Wednesday? She goes, oh, yeah. You logging out like you did? Good job. She has to understand that you want to talk to her, but she's going to have to pick that phone up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I just want to say something to her. But also at the same time, when she comes in that room like that, I'm serious. I get knots in my stomach, and I can't deal with it. And it's uncomfortable. So it's one of those things to say, okay, you want to talk to me? Call me on the phone. I never said that because I've already said that so many times. But I was like, oh, this is just really driving me nuts, right? The reason I don't want to talk at all a lot of times is because I don't know what you're not going to say and what I'm going to pick up and feel from you that you're going to deny. And I'm just not in the mood to hear you deny anything anymore. It's one of those things that when you want to call me up and say, I actually told her that too. I said, I guarantee you, April, when you're ready to have a real relationship and get back together, I guarantee you, when you call me on that phone, I will be there. But I said, when you call me on the phone, I will be there. I didn't say no texting, didn't see no emails, nothing through Facebook. I've actually blocked her on Skype, and I've actually deactivated my Facebook. I'm just tired of Facebook. I think Facebook is one of the negative things on the internet anymore. Because everybody can pretend to be whatever they want. And I think it's the same thing with Skype. The reason I blocked her on Skype was because I would talk to her on Skype and she wants to talk to everybody else. Now, I noticed that there was a good point in our relationship where she didn't do that. And I always noticed that when she got too close to me sometimes or too vulnerable, then she would start doing it again. And she would call it multitasking. I said, you can call it what you want to, April. I said, when I sit here and talk to you and say I want to spend some time with you, I sit here and clear everything. I push everything to the side for you. And I would just expect the same thing in return. I even told her that one night, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you on Skype. If you're going to talk to somebody on Facebook and all this other stuff, I know you like the attention, you're flirting with these guys, you go right ahead. I'm just telling you right now, you're not getting away with anything. And when you want to talk to me, you give me a call later. So I said, it's okay, no problem. So I left. And my friend said, did she call you? Yeah, she did. She got irritated. That I think she didn't say it that night, but I sort of told her I loved her before I hung up. And then the next day, that's when we had that argument, and then she hung up on me and refused to talk to me. Which was, again, I sit here and talk to her too. And I told her, I said, come back on the phone. Let's talk on the phone. She's like, nope. She goes, you want to talk to me? You got to talk to me through Skype. See, it's a computer. Regression back to the computer. It's called hiding. So I said, no, call me on the phone. I just want to talk to you for 5 minutes. I promise you, no relationship shit. And she's like, nope. And then she finally came back really abruptly and said, I said no. And I came back and said, and I say goodbye. I said, as far as I'm concerned, the way you've been acting, all kind of stuff, you've lied to me from day one. I said, I love you, always will. But I guess it was just one-sided. And I refused to talk to her after that. Do you know she started doing the same thing again, where she contacted me through Facebook and left me a message. And then she sent me a weird text. I still never figured that text out yet. And then she contacted me on Skype. And when she contacted me on Skype, I just had a funny feeling I should have sat there and waited until a phone call came before I sat there and did it, but I didn't do it. So I kind of like, okay. So I talked to her, but it was crazy. You know, I look forward every day of being together with her again. We have our moments, but we always have the tendency to butt heads. But see, you can't butt heads with people you don't like. You usually run away from them. Well, no, seriously, you see people do all the time. They argue, they fight, they refuse to talk or communicate with each other. Here, me and April, discussion, I forget what it was, I think about her doing spells and stuff. And I was like, you know, you should stop doing spells. She goes, well, can't be that bad, karma. I said, why get karma in the first place? Why go there? Why do it? Manipulation. How do you want to manipulate people to do what you want to do? I remember like one conversation I told her, talked to her too. I said, April, what do you want? You want a guy in your life that you actually conjured up with a spell who doesn't really want to be there anyway? Or do you want somebody whose heart actually beats for you because they love you and they want to be with you? That's me. Is that what your problem is, April? Is that what your problem with me is? I actually like you. I actually love you because I want to. I wasn't conjured up with no stupid spell or nothing like that. Now, my friend said, she said, the stronger you are with what you're doing, the more you're taking back your power, but the more stronger you are, the more attracted she is to you. She's really drawn to you. She likes your strength. She likes your power. She likes your influence, and she really misses talking to you. Yeah, me too. Because I used to tell her all the time how gifted and talented she was, and she's like, are you just telling me that? April, did you hear what I just said to you? You sit here and say, you're awesome, great, fantastic. I come back at you and said, and so are you. Like attracts like. That's a proven fact. I was just like freaking out going, and I'm going to keep telling you that until you believe it. She was like, really? I told her one day, I was like, look at the situation in your life. All the positive things that have happened to you since you met me. You think that's just by coincidence? She said, no. Then what are you questioning? You're confusing me now. What the hell are you what are you questioning? Dun, 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 you know? Anyway. I have to admit, the one thing I've been hearing from everybody says, you know what destiny is? I'm like, of course I do. And they go, well, you're in a destiny situation. Because it really doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. You two will be together. Really? I'm just being smart as I agree. it's one of those situations.
It's just her need to realize and accept it.
Yeah. That'll take, what, 2 days? I've been feeling some kind of communication is going to happen. But everybody says you might feel that well, too. So you're going back and forth. Realizing that she has not treated you so nicely. And she doesn't feel too good about it. That's what I was doing with some of that lady I did a reading for her. Told her the guy was feeling guilty for what he'd done to her. That's why he doesn't talk to her on the phone, because he's feeling vulnerable. I'm like, hold up. Huh. Did I just answer mine? So I told her to flat out, what you need to do is you need to stop accepting the texting and the freaking emails and tell him that it's your child. And you should be talking either on the phone or face-to-face about that child. Not emails and not texting. There's just too much room for a mistake. There's also too much room for people to make excuses that there was a mistake, to not admit that they might have said something. They might come across and say, I love you, I care about you, I'm sorry, and then come back and say, oh, I was talking to Joe, and I sent the wrong text. You know? It's just another denial. Personally, I was talking to my angels, too, and saying, what I really would like to happen is for her to just show up. Yes, I know she lives in North Carolina, and I live here in Colorado, but she came here once before, and she paid her own way, and things fell apart in place for her to come here. I don't see why it can't happen again, and tell you the truth. Take a look at the situation. It happened once before, and it needs to happen now. So you think about that?
Way before the holidays.
Huh?
Like way before the holidays.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't sit here and say, what are your intentions? I think it's pretty plain of my intentions. Somebody just showing up right now, knocking on my freaking door, and all I got to do is open it up to start the rest of my life with her. Hmm. Interesting, huh? Well, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome.
That last hour was like, oh, gosh. What the heck? I was calling in. So I just wanted to sit there and get the whole thing going on and everything and say, okay, should I actually be talking about this? Could she be listening?
Yes.
Is that a bad thing? yeah, because that's what my friend said. When she came in the room Wednesday, she said she heard the reading. And she said, she goes, I was actually picking up things from her, too, where she was actually happy by what she heard. I said, okay, since she's happy again and comfortable, does that kind of put things back a little bit? And she was like, no, not really. She said, it's one of those things where it's like she heard it. It's a realization for her. She knows you still care and love her. And she feels good about that, which means It's a confirmation and a realization for herself that she feels the same. Now
mm-hmm.
she has to figure out what she wants to do. And I was there talking to one of my friends, and she said, in some ways, she said, I feel like she's already got a plan. She's already got a plan and works in her work. She's already got a plan in her head of what she wants to do. And she said, I just see her coming back there. And I was sitting there saying, since she left and took off out of here against her own guides and against her own self, that she needs to come back here. She needs to come back here so we can get started again. It's like she needs to come back here to reconnect and go on together as a couple. That's what she needs to do. She needs to come back here right now. And the ideal realization of saying, I'm sorry, I should have never left. I'm back, and I want to get back together. I want to be with you. And I love being here because I do feel this is my home, and I feel at home here. And she does it today. So be it. So it is. So you think about that? That's a pretty strong
uh-huh.
intent. So when's she coming, man? She'll be here Thursday? Well, it was kind of funny, too, her coming in the room on Wednesday. And I'll tell you why. Because usually when the contact and communication and stuff, it usually starts with us. It usually starts on a Tuesday or a Thursday. The idea of something happening on a Wednesday would sit there and put you in a situation of someone acting out of character, which means the prompting and the drawing to somebody would put you in a situation like that. Because I've seen her do it before. You know, like when you see somebody who has emotions and have a tendency to go to hell and high water to get to do something, it's the idea of looking at the same thing and going, okay, this person says she feels, and she's, or maybe it's the idea of realizing a person is running away from you. People don't run away from something that doesn't exist. They run away from something that scares them. So therefore, we can't sit there and say they don't know what love is. Why run away from something you don't know what is? You run away from it because you're not ready to deal with it. So you know what it is. You know what you felt. You're just like, okay, I don't know what I want to deal with this, so I'll see you guys later. Jumping on the freaking cab of denial. So, you know? I think it's kind of amazing. I've done some shows where I talk about exactly what happened, why it happened, certain things. I didn't use the names or nothing like that. But I went back on Block Talk Radio in my archives, and there was like 4 or 5 different shows where I was actually explaining, if you're in a situation like this and you don't understand what's going on, to help you understand that the person is running away from you because of such a great person you are, not because you did something wrong. And I went back in the archives and checked those shows out. One particular show, over 600 people have gone back in the archives and listened to that show.
Wow, everybody going through the same thing.
And then there's been 4 or 5 shows where people have gone between 600 to 500 to 300 in the archives. And I looked at other shows where there's only like 6 or 7 people go back on those shows. And then you have the other ones where there's like 600 to 700 people. I had one show I did where it was called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. Almost 400 people went back and looked at that show. So I was like, boy, something was said. I draw that one. So I was like, because I was thinking, you know, the situation. I mean, I even told April flat out. I talked to this one lady. She said that she felt like April, she goes, you and April can get back together in 42 days. Now, I didn't mark it down or nothing, okay? But it was just the way she said it. And she said, I don't care what you do or don't do. It's going to happen. And she said, I've been doing this since I was like 8. Either 8 or 11 years old. So trust me on this one. I said, okay, no problem. But there was a way she said it. You need to let go of her completely. Almost like forget all about her. She said, the sooner you forget her, the sooner she comes back. And I think that she should never told me that. Because I've been trying to, it's like, forget her. What do you mean forget her? She's April. Her name is April. She's 26 years old. I was born on April 26th.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, come on, man.
So like, how can you forget her?
She's not saying her. She's saying let it go. Detach yourself from it and just let it happen. I said, okay, I got that. But I'm just saying, it's not an easy thing to do.
Hard to do.
Yeah, so we started going the whole thing. I said, okay, fine, do it. And then she also, that was also the lady who gave me the date, too. She said, I see you guys getting married on this date. I said, okay, no problem. Sounds good to me. Why not? But, you know, put it like a, it was like a, one of the pieces of the puzzle on the freaking focus board and focusing on the whole thing. Or I actually put it on the bottom, too. Happy couple and a happy marriage, now and always. Together always. And that was, it was together now and always. And then I came and I found the affirmations to write. And then I was reading this one book about putting the first, second, third. And I was like, that sounds really good. Because you're crossing it from the whole thing where you're actually, you're saying it. It's almost like someone's saying it to you. And then you're saying it to them. And then you're saying it to yourself. As it's a done deal. It already happened. You're living it right then and there. So I was like, okay, let's do that. And then the so be it thing, that was kind of cool. So it was like all this energy is nothing but focusing on positive outcome. You know, positive intentions, positive outcome, positive solution. Definitely something that's going to materialize itself in a very positive manifestation with this person. Now, I will have to say the one thing I've been getting the most is the idea of her showing up the door in tears at night. One person said she actually saw it was raining. When she said she saw her hair was wet. She said she has dark hair and it's wet. I said, yeah, she has dark hair. It's straight. She definitely is one of those things where you keep your mind open and it says your soulmate or your twin flame may differ from what you have imagined in your mind. She's a beautiful woman. And she was happy when she first got here, too, because she told her friend. Her friend was like, so how do you feel when you got there? Was there something he didn't like about you? And she said, no, he likes everything about me. He just says that he didn't realize I was as tall as I was. But besides that, everything else is great. She even invited somebody. She invited somebody out here, too. She goes, you need to come out and visit us. So, see, this person was telling everybody all this stuff. And it was going good. So next thing I was like, okay, can we all get baffled by the other chain of events? Of course we can, but then again, maybe it was one of those things that it was a great experience. Everything fell into place. Everything happened just the way it was supposed to. And then maybe it was something that gives you an ideal that when it does come together on a really good note, there'll be something fantastic because it was that good. Even when it wasn't supposed to, it's like, okay, she came out earlier than she should have. Okay, but it was still a great experience. So it just gives you a really confidence. And so, okay, that's great. That's fantastic. If it was something that happened prematurely before it was supposed to, and it was still a great experience, then what happened?
Yeah, basically, y'all had inside of how it's actually going to be when y'all do come together.
Yeah, it does come together fantastic. Wow, that's off the scale. I have put so much stuff in this freaking home, too. Making sure that when she does come back, everything is, it's just one of those things, it's just the ideal. Welcome home. Now let's proceed to go forward together. Because I actually felt like when she does show up, from the time that she shows up, which I feel like it actually can happen anytime, with the ideal of acting out a character and doing something, you know, way against something she would normally do. It was like I actually saw a vision of her, you know, packing and doing some things. And that's why I was always sitting there focusing on my focus board saying, this is what you need to do, April. You need to pack that car of yours up with everything you own and drive back out here. You know, wait till everybody goes to sleep, put all your stuff in the car, and go. I'll be waiting. Arms open wide, ready to receive you when you get here. Come on down. Everything is fantastic. Everything is great. All we need for you to do is you're the last component of the situation. Once you're here, everything else is going to fall into place so nicely, and everything else already is falling into place nicely. So